much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Chicks love wang bone. Why do you think they have strap-ons and things in that nature?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Listen, I have to get a security clearance, so you guys might be hearing from the FBI.
Whoa. I don't want to speak to the FBI.
The FBI!
Dad, you need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight, okay?
What?
You need to promise me you're not going to get alcohol tonight. Okay? Because if you get alcohol tonight, you're fired from your show tomorrow. And the doctor is coming over here in the morning to check your alcohol level. And if you have any alcohol in your system, you're going to be fired from the show. Tomorrow. You hear me? No alcohol.
That's a toss-up.
Where's the outrage there?
Oh, you are so on that things have now become very much like Donkey Kong.
And now...
Is Tammy Heidi still on vacation?
Our feature presentation.
I believe yes. Yes is the answer to that.
Oh, what are you eating? I'm so hungry.
Bubblegum.
Oh, that's not going to help me.
Gumball.
That's not going to do anything for me. Hey, party people, welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Monday. It is the 11th of April. How's everybody?
Awesome.
Everybody is good. I think it's the 9th of April, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I got the 11th.
I think 9th.
9th.
Really? Okay. I buy that.
I don't know what to tell you.
Really?
Yes.
I'm puzzled by that.
Yeah.
All right, if you say so.
All day.
It's the 9th it is then. I'm out of whack. I'm sorry. I'm a man who has a routine, and when my routine is gone, I'm hosed. I'm screwed up.
Like Rain Man.
I am. I'm the guy who has to sit at the same place and eat the same thing and do
Wapner. Got to watch Wapner.
I know. 3 o'clock, seriously.
Got to watch Wapner.
So, April Foolishness. Where do we begin?
Which is why you're in town.
Which is why I'm in town, because then we have BS meetings today. Thanks, Psycho Mike. But April Foolishness, we're having Tim mention in later on today, and I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about it. But we don't have a lot of time on today's very busy schedule to discuss. But what about April Foolishness? What about that show?
It was pretty awesome.
What about that deal?
It was pretty great.
I said to Kevin at one point, we were sitting together watching somebody, and I said, you know, no offense to the great artists on the Acoustic Christmas and the Weenie Roast Bill, but usually there's somebody that you can miss. There's somebody that you've got planned into your schedule that's a bathroom break or go get us something to eat break or, you know, hey, I've seen this person, I like this person, but they've been on, I've seen them a lot, you know.
Right.
But April Foolishness, you don't want to get out of your seat. You don't ever want to miss a minute because there's no downtime. You go from one great comedian right into the other one, and I really do, and I don't know much about comedians, but I got the impression that when you're on a bill with that many other guys, you're really trying to bring it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of competition, and it's not just your people that are there. You got to win over, you know, if you're Jay Moore, you got to win over Bob Saget fans or
and
whatever.
Who would you say was the biggest comedian on Saturday night?
In height?
Nope.
Oh, in every other way?
Yeah.
Our little friend Brad. Our little friend
too.
Brad and the early reviews that I've seen in the Orange County Register and whatnot, they all say, you know, on a bill like that with superstars, Brad Williams stole the show.
Yep.
He was unbelievable.
And we knew he was funny. That's why we put him on, but we didn't know he was that good.
Yeah. No, he was incredible. And the I sent some pictures to Chip. I hope she can use it for picture of the day of the lap dance that he gave to Lisa May.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Which was the most entertaining lap dance I've ever seen in my life. Who knew midgets were so athletic?
He's a gymnast, it looks like.
He is a gymnast. At one point,
bizarre.
he had his – Lisa was sitting in a chair. If you haven't seen this, man, you missed it. But he – which is a super intelligent comment.
Yeah, well said.
But at one point, he had his hands on the floor and his legs were up in the air. And poor Lisa was just right in his nuts, man. Just there's nothing she could do about it.
Yeah, but how big? You know what I mean? Little tiny nuts.
Yeah, he was incredible. He was amazing.
He was a fun guy, and he was standing on the side of the stage with me after Larry King came out to start talking. Larry King opened the show because he has to, you know, be in bed by 9.
You know why Larry had to leave the minute he got off stage?
No.
He was going to have dinner with Johnny Depp.
Really?
That's where he was headed.
He made me walk him out to his car. And I'm the person, like, Bean grew up, Larry started doing radio three lifetimes before Bean was born.
In World War One, Larry King was doing a
but
nightly show.
When Bean, you know, grew up, he was doing a nighttime radio show. So Bean kind of idolizes him. I only started getting interesting in him when he became crazy Larry
right.
King.
You didn't even care about him on CNN in the first 20 years. It's once he started to lose his mind, that's when you started to take note of him.
So Larry King comes out, and he's backstage, and the first thing we see is he's got a tissue that's rolled up, and he's jamming it in his nose. I was like, this is not how you want to...
This is not sexy.
This is not how you want to meet somebody or try to gauge how things are going to go. I didn't know if he was going to walk out on stage with it. Like,
he had
that?
A very serious nosebleed.
So he goes out, he starts talking, and Brad Williams and I are standing over on the side of the stage. And I think to myself, what would be funnier than Brad Williams running out and humping Larry King's leg.
I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Why?
Are you kidding? That's no way to treat a guest. Larry King was our guest there. He was doing us a huge favor, giving up his time to come out and help us raise money for charity. The last thing we want to do is have him attacked by a dwarf from the sidelines.
How is... That's the first thing we want.
No, you don't do that to Larry King.
How many opportunities am I going to get to make that happen? How many?
Well, it would have made headlines around the world. Larry King sidelined by midget.
So I'm talking to Brad. We're over on the side, and I started offering him money, as I do. I said, I'll give you $100 if you go out and hump Larry King's leg. And he sort of wanted to do it anyway.
Oh, my God.
$200, $300. And now he's thinking seriously about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. $400. And I finally got up to $500, which is as high as I was going to go. And Brad's like, that's it. I'm in. I'm going to do it.
No!
Yeah.
No!
So Brad, like, gets ready, and he's just about to run out on stage when Larry King is out there. And for some reason, I don't know why this happened, but we have a new enemy of fun.
Brad changed his mind at the last second.
Nope. We have a new enemy of fun.
Who?
Dave, the King of Mexico. I turned and looked, and Dave was wrestling Brad. He was holding on to him like in a chokehold.
Right.
And they were rolling around on the floor, and I was like,
Dave, come in here right now, please.
And I was like, what are you doing? And he said, you guys can't do this. You can't do this. I was
not
like,
my fault.
I was like, why can't we do this? You just can't. You can't do this.
Oh, thank God there's adults around when Kevin starts waving around $500.
The last thing I wanted was for Larry King to die, and then, then the show's over.
It would have been hard to come back and laugh it up after that, after we killed a guest.
Beep, beep.
Clear. He is brittle and old, but the point is, he
wasn't going to attack him with a sword.
This wasn't a this wasn't a guy at a party, and this wasn't Miss Double D. This is a guest that we invited to come do our comedy show, and you don't treat him. You don't attack him.
It's a comedy show. This is
right?
a show where nobody takes anything seriously. Brad runs out and
too
humps
old.
His leg.
I think he's too old to do that, too.
He would have laughed it off and we would have moved on.
He would have fell off the stage and...
He would have been terrified,
Listen, Brad was not going to charge him. He wasn't going to knock him down.
In your defense, I hate to add ammo to your side, but he's not a rhinoceros, right? He weighs 45 pounds or something.
And he was just going to run out and sort of grab onto his leg and hump him. That's all he was going to
do. I envisioned Brad jumping on his leg and his leg falling right off.
That would have been awesome. What a better way to start a comedy show.
It's not The Walking Dead, Dave.
I
think Larry would have survived.
He's brittle.
He would have survived.
And I know that your thought also in the back of your mind is, I don't care if we burn the Larry King Bridge. What are we ever going to need him for?
Correct.
But I have a lot of respect for the man.
I know you do.
I don't want to see something like that happen to poor Larry.
But, all right, let me just run this by you. Brad Williams goes out, humps his legs. He laughs it off and goes on with his set.
Okay.
Is that a possibility?
Yes, it is a possibility.
Then is it the greatest thing in the world that Brad Williams ran out and humped Larry King's leg while he was doing stand-up?
It's a possibility.
Could have been the greatest thing ever.
But there's too many potential downsides
for that.
And
how did you find out what was going on? And why were you rolling around with Brad on the floor?
Like, I walked out and he started charging. I had to choke him out.
Brad really, like...
Which wasn't hard, by the way.
Brad was really... on his way out, basically, when Dave saw what was happening.
Unbelievable.
And I thought it was a done deal. I was trying to get my camera out so I could get a
thank
picture
you,
of
Dave. Thank you for being the adult.
And
thank
Dave's
you for being responsible.
Rolling around on the floor holding on to Brad. I was like, what?
Well, it could have been a very different show then, I guess.
Oh, I've never been more mad at Dave.
That's good times right there.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Let me answer your question with a question. Why don't you just shut up?
Okay, good. Bean wants Weird Al to get a star on the Walk of Fame.
The world wants Weird Al to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Good enough.
Okay.
He deserves it.
He does deserve it. We're going to talk to somebody today who's already put the wheels in motion for that, I think.
We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today.
Fantastic.
Going to spin that. We have, let's see, Tim Minchin.
Oh, he was so great.
He was great.
Yeah, and he was the question mark on the bill for a lot of people because not played often in America. A lot of people didn't know him, but I think he won the crowd over.
I do too.
And so smart.
And I don't know what he's going to do on our show.
I don't either.
Today, because a lot of the content on Saturday night at April Foolishness was not radio friendly.
Exactly.
But we're going to have him in, so that's good. We are going to talk to a K-Rock listener who is bugged by people who shorten words.
Totes.
Yeah, like that. He just drives him out of
his mind.
Are
we going to have a convo with him?
He just drives him out of his mind. So then we'll take your phone calls. And we've got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Fantastic.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. Easily could have gone
Hang
well.
On a second.
Easily.
Hold on. Let the man
No
the man
way that
speak.
Could have happened.
Could have easily
Step
gone
Step aside
well.
Let the man come through.
Because no matter how, what happened, Larry King would have ended up with a midget wrapped around his leg.
Right. But so what? He has a sense of humor. He laughs it off. Everybody moves on.
But you don't know that. You don't know.
Even if you laugh it off, you don't like it. No one enjoys that. No one wants that.
No, but it's a night of comedy.
I understand what the night
so
was.
So you put up with it.
I was in the room when we planned it.
But the night of comedy isn't at the expense of the guests.
Right. It's supposed to be, let me perform for the audience for them to enjoy the what I'm saying.
I work with all wrong-headed people.
So wait.
It's not possible I'm wrong.
You're never. Sees this clearly, right?
Yes.
Brad should have tackled Larry King. That's the
Regardless of what you
I
think of the man, he is a broadcasting legend. He has earned the respect to not have a dwarf wrapped around his leg. He's earned that much.
Right, but he shows up at our comedy show, and that happens, and he goes, wow, I knew I was in for a wild time.
Not for that. You didn't know he was in for that. No one would know they were in for that.
Oh, man.
You have a right as an American to be able to go out in public and reasonably expect not to have a midget wrapped around your thigh.
That's in the Constitution.
That's America.
You're both wrong. First of all, and
your right stop where my midget touches my leg.
I've had my leg humped by midgets many times. It doesn't hurt,
but
you're fine.
You are a short busser, and that's okay.
Dare you. That would have been great.
Ralph is here Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
And Larry, by the way, did a great job out there on stage,
didn't he?
A great job. That story was wildly entertaining.
I agree. I'm so happy that we had him. I know that he was we didn't know how
he was
going to go,
question mark.
But I thought he was terrific.
And I think the crowd really enjoyed him, and it was fun, and it was a nice way to start. I mean, look, let's face it. He didn't crush it. He didn't knock it out of the park like Brad did or a couple of the other guys. But he came out and acquitted himself very well, and it was very entertaining. And he was concise and sharp and on target. It was not a meandering story. It was very crisp. I thought he did a nice performance.
I couldn't hear it because I was going 300. Come on, 300. Yeah. Come on, Brad.
Imagine what Kevin's going to sound like when he gets to be Larry King's age.
Can you?
He's way sharper than
when
I am
you're
right now.
78, I want you to go out on stage in front of 6,000 people and tell him a story.
I'll give you $500 to go out on stage and tell a story.
I'll tell you what, when he does, we're going to hire a dwarf to go out and tackle him. And you know what? Not tackle! Hump leg! You're missing the point.
At 76, there's no difference.
Yes, there is.
The minute, you know what? If you had put a feather on his knee, he would have collapsed on the stage.
The last thing we said was, I said to Brad, this is what convinced him, what if Larry King dies? And Brad said, greatest thing ever. And I said, I know, greatest thing ever. And then he was getting ready to go, and Dave made a flying tackle.
Dave is the best producer we've ever had.
He's the enemy of fun. I know that.
Well, Dave needs to be with Kevin at all times at Coachella because something else bad's going
to
happen
out
there.
That's the plan.
A giant size version of those harnesses that people put on their kids in the mall.
Yep.
That has a thing on the back where you clip the leash and you just have controls this way. You don't lose them and they don't get into any shenanigans.
You're right.
That's what we need to get for Kevin.
Coachella is about shenanigans.
But even you can take shenanigans too far, as we're learning today.
Come on.
An evening full of shenanigans, you were about to ruin it by going one shenanigan too many.
Ruin it, or step it up and put it right over the top.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary. See, you do something like that if it's like a funeral. If he was speaking at a funeral or something, then I could see it.
Oh, yeah, you'd buy that then.
But we had plenty of comedy in store for the crowd already. No need. Overkill. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Hunger Games. There's no stopping the Hunger Games. Topped the box office for the third straight week, pulling in $33.5 million this weekend. In the third week.
Wow.
I think that's better than it did last week.
Wow.
Yeah. It was 31 or something.
I guess
yeah.
It crosses 300 million this week or something like that. I mean, it's just
crazy. It will globally, it will cross $400 million
wow.
this week.
If you were to tell me a year ago that there's going to be a movie about kids killing kids,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to ruin
you would
the
said,
world.
That's hilarious. Ah, send a midget to hold them down while they're being murdered. That's what you would have said.
Maybe.
Number two was American Pie. Our buddy Jason Biggs did very well with the American Reunion, the American Pie sequel. Took in $21.5 million.
I saw that.
Oh, how is it?
I didn't get a chance to.
It was good. Back to you.
Sounds qualified.
That's coming from Kevin,
yeah,
by the way.
Really.
One of Kevin's good is like Beans. It was the worst film I've ever seen.
No, that's not true. It's hard to not compare it to the original,
mm-hmm, sure.
which it pales in comparison to, but it was fine. It was fun.
Titanic 3D did very well for itself. $17.4 million, made it number three at the box office. Then Wrath of the Titans and Mirror Mirror. 21 Jump Street was sixth. The Lorax came in at number seven. Salmon Fishing in Yemen was eighth.
That is hanging on,
isn't
it?
Sure is. John Carter and Safe House rounding out the rest of the top ten. At the box office this weekend. While we're talking about Hunger Games, some question as to whether director Gary Ross, who directed the first one, would return for the second in the series. Rumor was he was out, and no one really could understand why. Well, Gary, who was on vacation in Italy while all these rumors were being published and on the internet, came back and said he has not left the production, but the film is in question because its star, Jennifer Lawrence, who plays, of course, Katniss, the heroine in the film, she has already signed up to do Fox's follow-up to X-Men First Class. So now it's a matter of scheduling. Can they film the second Hunger Games before the X-Men movie starts, or do they have to wait until X-Men is done, and then they get her back, and then they can start filming? But the script, apparently, is not yet finished, so there's some pre-production issues that are causing question marks in the film, but Gary Ross said as long as he can be, he still will be involved in the sequel, and I'm sure they want him because
he did a great job.
He did a great job.
How old is she, Jennifer Lawrence? 21, something like that?
Something, early 20s.
So she got an Oscar nomination for that one movie. Now she's in two mega successful franchises.
She's one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mike Wallace passed away over the weekend. For those of you who don't know, he, of course, was the one of the longtime hosts and journalists on 60 Minutes for many, many, many years. They hired him in 1968 to be on that program. And he just left recently. He was 93 years old. He had been sick for several years when he left the show.
He was on 60 Minutes, the TV show, in 1968?
Yes.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And until 3 years ago. He was still doing it 3 years ago. And then I guess the dementia kicked in. But,
man.
Oh, he was incredible, wasn't he?
He was one of the great investigative journalists in television history. Absolutely. Maybe in journalism history.
And it was fascinating because he had a career in news and then left it. And he wanted to become an actor. You know this, Ralph.
Yeah.
He was doing commercials and plays and he was doing, you know, bit parts and stuff like that. And it took him a while to be taken seriously as a journalist again. He almost didn't get hired back for CBS and almost didn't get the 60 Minutes job because people thought he wasn't credible enough.
Even as a journalist, he was doing a lot of softball stuff. Like celebrity interviews and things where he would just glad hand people. And he became known as one of the toughest, most relentless interviewers on television.
It was never good news if Mike Wallace was at your door with a camera crew.
No,
never.
He invented the ambush interview. He would show up at somebody's door and knock on the door and he would just put the mic right in their face and start asking the questions. Great stuff.
It wasn't a microphone.
If you haven't heard of him,
open up a blog.
That's right.
Would you have hired a dwarf to tackle Mike Wallace if he were doing an interview with the Ayatollah?
Why do you keep missing this? Not tackle. Hump leg. Different.
And Justin Bieber wants you to know he may be one of the wealthiest people on the planet, but he's still just an average teenager. He was driving through the Chick-fil-A drive-in this week with his girlfriend Selena Gomez. They're just trying to get something to eat, and they were upset apparently because people were taking their picture and they were trying to hide from the cameras and the paparazzi because they just wanted a Chick-fil-A as they drove through the drive-thru in his $116,000 Fisker Karma sports car.
I've never even heard of that.
You never heard of the Fisker Karma?
No.
Yeah, it's a high, high, high-end handmade sports car that Justin drives through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. He just wants to be a regular kid.
Yeah.
He just wants to be a regular kid.
So you think he should have a beater car, something that he takes out when he's going places?
Isn't there anything between a beater and then a Fisker Karma, which costs more than the average person's house?
Well, there are people who have crazy expensive cars. Where are they supposed to drive them?
to crazy expensive restaurants where they belong.
Okay.
Stay out of the drive-through.
All right.
Douchebag. Hate him.
You can't say that you're trying, that you don't like the attention.
Right.
If you're not, you go out in that car which says, hey, look at me.
You're not low pro.
Right.
No.
Where's our friend, our listener who loves how people shorten words? You're not low pro.
He's on later today.
In the Fisker Karma. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I love him so much. Hugh Hefner.
Oh, how about
Playboy
that?
Magazine founder Hugh Hefner is 86 years old today. Why do all the guys I love end up being in their 80s? It's very strange.
Welcome to my world.
Forgot being Bean for a minute. Dennis Quaid is 58 years old. Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City is 46. Kevin Martin, lead singer for Candlebox, is 43. Former adult actress Jenna Jameson celebrates her 38th birthday today. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance is 35. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 32. Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is 26. Kristen Stewart from the Twilight franchise is 22. Oh, listen to the silence. That sounds so good. That bellless silence in the background.
Yeah.
And Elle Fanning at 14 years old. She is celebrating her birthday today. I have to go get some ice cream. The ice cream truck is here. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up next in about 15 minutes or so here on the program, we're going to talk about the potential return next week of Sam, the Armenian comedian. Now, I have to be honest, Kevin, so far, we've mentioned it a couple times, so far the response has not been overwhelmingly positive for that decision.
But all of those people are just being funny.
Well, we'll talk about that coming up. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
Yes, we have way too many stories, so we put them all on a wheel, we spin it, and then we figure out which one, and then we follow up and give you some more details.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
No, no.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
We have the albino cyclops shark. We have the doomsday prepper survival kitty.
Oh, I love survival kitty.
We have George the Basset hound that dialed 911. We have the Icelandic worm monster. We have Erwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo. We have the Russian joyriding dog. We have Ole, the dog that survived an avalanche. Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. Badass super soldier ants.
Wow, a lot of choices here.
Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. The albino cyclops shark.
Okay.
So I think I said that one twice. So here we go.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
Oh, fantastic. It's the Russian joyriding dog.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
This is a crazy story. This is a woman who basically got hit by a car, and there were no humans in the car. It was a bunch of dogs driving around Moscow, right?
Here's what happened. The dude left three dogs in his car.
All right.
Left the car running.
Uh-huh.
And went somewhere.
Okay.
So one of the dogs got in the driver's seat, put it in drive somehow.
Right.
And the three dogs took off in the car. And there was a woman sitting in her car, and she got rammed by this car. And she looked over, and she sees that it's being driven by dogs.
That's fantastic.
And then she called 911. She left for a little bit. She came back. The car was gone. The dogs put it in drive again and tried to get away.
That's amazing.
I want a dog that can drive my car.
Doesn't sound like good things happened as a result of that, but we asked producer Dave in the last 15 seconds if he could line up whoever the wheel landed on, and sure enough, ladies and gentlemen, the Russian joyriding dog is joining us on the phone from Moscow right now. Hi, you guys. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show calling from America. Are you guys in the car right now?
Yes, we're in the car right now. How are you doing, America?
We're very good. Thank you.
Great. Great to hear from you.
This story surprised us a little bit because dogs here don't drive.
Oh, it's too bad. You're the decadent Western race. You don't have a driving dogs yet.
Well,
once again, Russia superior.
Where do dogs have to go, though? Don't your owners pretty much take care of whatever you need?
No, in Russia, it's not like in America where these soft pet parents are doing everything for dogs. Oh, let me put sweater on you before you go for a walk. Oh, let me feed you and give you water. No, in Moscow, in all of Russia, dogs must fend for themselves.
Oh, I see. So if you're hungry, you just jump in the car and drive to the store and buy some dog food.
That's right. And we have to get everything ourselves. So you learn as a dog in Moscow to drive, because if not driving... then you have to take public transportation. And to get 6 blocks, public transportation in Moscow takes a year and a half.
Oh, a year and a half. That's a long time.
So especially for a dog, a year and a half is quite a chunk of your
life.
It's
like it's a seventh of my life, pretty much.
Yeah. I understand, yeah. So your owner leaves the car running, probably because it's cold there, and he didn't want the car to get cold and have to frost up and stuff. So
no, actually, that's done because in Russia, cars only turn on once.
Oh, I see.
Oh, really? And you just leave them on forever?
It's not very very sound mechanically.
I see.
Interesting.
If
okay.
If you get it going, don't you dare turn it up. It'd be a huge, huge mistake.
All right. So he goes into the store, the restaurant, whatever he's doing, and you guys just go, hey, I'm not sitting around waiting for this bozo. Let's hit the road.
Yeah, exactly. We say, look, I turn to Pavel and Boris, my friends. I say, look. Here's an opportunity, first of all, for us to get the hell out of Moscow. I hate it here.
Aw, so sad.
Have you ever used Russian toilet paper?
No.
It's like wiping your butt with a milk bone.
Oh, see, that's, that doesn't sound good at all.
It's not soft.
No, it does not sound soft.
So I said, let's make break for it.
Okay.
And sadly, I was texting at the time.
Oh.
And that's when I hit this bitch's car.
Wait, you were texting?
Yeah, I was texting. I was telling my other friends, meet me at the border. We're trying to get across. And I lost control of car and hit this bitch.
Yeah. We don't call women bitches. That's more of a dog thing.
But she's a female, right?
Right, yes.
So
but
she's
that's,
a bitch.
And he's a dog.
Yeah, you're a dog. I know. But
it's like your a-hole.
Like, excuse me?
Like you're an a-hole. It's a natural way of things.
I don't think I like the tone of this at all.
Take it easy, dog.
So you're thinking, hey, in 2 hours we can be in Czechoslovakia, and then boom, the next thing you know, your police are there, and it's, you're filling out an accident report.
Well, no, the police show up, we take off, we leave.
Oh, I see. So they never found you.
No, they did find us. We hit another thing down there, further down the road. But we try to make break for it because you don't want to end up in gulag as a dog.
You're not really.
Yes. If you end up as a dog in a gulag, you end up as gulag.
Oh, see.
Incubus right there. Of course, one of the bands playing the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. That's coming up on Cinco de Mayo. Before that, you've got two big weekends of Coachella. And by the way, you know there are bands at Coachella, right, Kevin? You understand there's music that is...
Love it.
Oh, really? You do? Because
yes.
I'm looking at your post at krock.com right now. It doesn't seem to me like you're even aware that there's music being performed.
Well, I put up a bunch of photos, first of all, from Coachella. And then I also edited together a video of highlights of
But your, all of your photos and all of your highlights are just of chicks in the desert. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on at Coachella. There's nothing. There's no pictures here of things on stage. It's just chicks with their boobs hanging out.
Right.
I'm just saying, that's not, look, that's a nice.
Did you need a picture of a band playing?
No, but I'm just saying, if it's supposed to be, here's what's going on at Coachella, there is more than just TNA happening there.
There's about 4 seconds of bands on stages in my video.
And then the rest of it is just hot chicks that
you
came across?
Those are the photos I found. I wasn't looking.
Yes, those are the only photos you take. That's why.
How dare you?
You can see that at krock.com and also see today's Kevin Amin picture of the day. We put up something every day, and it's Lisa May getting a lap dance from our dwarf friend, Brad Williams, from Saturday Night's April Fool's. You have to see it.
One of the best photos ever.
It was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. All right. Let's talk about Sam, the Armenian comedian. Now, Sam, I know it's not likely that we've grown any new listeners over the past couple of years, but it's just possible there are people out there who have never enjoyed the magic of the Armenian comedian.
Never heard of him.
Sam has been on our show on and off. It has to be 15 years now or something like that. And I can just say he is terrible. He really is awful.
But the level of awful is off the charts.
Yes.
That's the part of it that, A, it's that, and then his confidence level is off the charts the other direction. He believes every word out of his mouth is gold.
You know how there are movies that are bad and you wish you didn't see it, but then there are movies that are so bad that they come back around to be, oh my God, I can't believe that got made. I want to see it again. It was so bad. It was so incompetent. The story was so bad. The acting was so bad. Every bit of that was horrible. That's what Sam is like. He is that train wreck that you can't stand to hear, but you also can't stand to miss.
So we had him on and off for 15 years, and then he decided to call in a bomb threat, and that's not acceptable. So the police called, and then they got him, and then they gave him a restraining order, so he's not been able to contact us now for 2 years.
2 years since we had Sam on. The restraining order, I believe, runs out tomorrow. So we're able to have the Armenian comedian back on the air. So we're kind of doing a little bit of a countdown now to Sam. Because I think Monday, we were going to do it this week, but Lisa May's on vacation, so we thought we don't want her to miss that.
Right.
She hates Sam. We got to rub that in her face, right?
Correct.
So Sam, next week, this today, begins our countdown to Samageddon.
You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh**.
You thought you were safe.
Hey.
You were wrong.
That's right. I get stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
It's Countdown to Samageddon.
1 week.
1 week from today, the Armenian comedian will be back on the Kevin and Bean Show, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Can we play you a highlight, please?
Yes, let's do it.
This is Sam, the Armenian comedian. I believe it was a Cinco de Mayo show.
Okay.
And he was down there live, and when we're live, we have more problems with language because people are drinking and that kind of stuff. And Sam notoriously cusses every time he comes on the air.
Mm-hmm. Even though he's been on the radio dozens of times, he still doesn't understand there are certain things you can't say.
And every time we say to him, and by every time I mean probably over 100, we say to him, Sam, you can't use that language. So he came down for our live show, and this happened. And I don't think I've ever heard anything funnier because Bean was trying to explain that to him in advance. We were stopping that before it even got started.
I want you to listen to me very closely. Are you paying attention? Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do not swear.
Really? Not at all.
Your language. Not even a little bit.
None.
Do you understand?
You're looking at him as if he's speaking a different language. Every time you're on the air, you swear.
And do not saying, swear.
You can't do that.
So not
this
time.
We Armenians are like the... So
oh, Jesus.
What is wrong?
My God.
How did that just happen? What's going
on? You
can't
say that, Sam.
What we just said. We just said don't swear. Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to... We're going to cut that segment short, Sam. We're not going to have time for anything else with you.
That's all that was said by him.
Isn't it amazing, like... The next word, the first sentence out of his mouth after be careful what you're saying is something that clearly can't be said on the radio.
It was so unbelievable. It was like if you were writing a sitcom, you'd go, no, that's a little too tight. It's a little too
on the
nose.
Because no one's that dumb, right?
Right.
And you have never laughed harder.
Nope.
Weren't you literally under the table?
Yes,
like,
I was.
Stomping your feet on the ground?
It was Cinco de Mayo. I had a few shots.
Uh-huh.
And that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life.
It's unbelievable. Every time we let him on, he's like a time bomb waiting to go off.
1 week, people.
A week from today. Dare we?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Please, 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 for the love of all things that are good and holy, do not put that stupid-ass Sam on the air ever again.
Yeah,
I only
saying.
Turn off Kevin and Bean when that idiot Sam is on. Don't give me another reason. He makes me want to punch babies, kick baby harp seals. It's a visceral reaction, blah, 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 blah. Okay, Christian, we'll see you on Monday when Sam joins us in studio.
It's Thank mayhem you. On Monday.
Ralph.
It's the Feel free.
It's the Armenian comedian.
Feel free. But don't expect me in on Monday if he's here.
How are you going to come at an Armenian comedian like that?
Because there comes a time in every man's life where he has to take a stand for what's right.
I'm all excited, brother.
It's been 2 years.
So you can tune in Monday to hear Sam, the Armenian comedian, do the showbiz beat.
No,
that's all I'm telling you. No, he's great.
That's
you love him.
Much, Sam.
You love him. He's returning. He'll
small.
Be doing the showbiz beat on Monday.
We just want to catch up with him and just find out how the last 2 years have
you
been.
You can do that during showbiz.
Yeah,
while he's talking about showbiz news, you can also catch up with Sam.
Oh,
it'll be the perfect combination of entertainment.
Ralph,
because he's so entertaining, Bean, right? Isn't he wildly entertaining? Would you tell him in the other room? How entertaining
he's
he
entertaining,
is.
He's entertaining, but we just want to catch up with him. We don't want him on for the whole show. We just want to see what's new in Armenian land.
Well, you makes your bets, he takes your chances.
Wow. Tim Minchin, who was one of the highlights of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness Saturday night, joins us in studio next hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday.
Loved April Foolishness, by the way. What a great time that is.
It was fun.
Of all the big events we do, for me, that is my favorite. Because I am... a comedy geek like you guys are music geeks, you know, when we get the big bands and stuff, when we get big comedians in, it's just, I was just hanging backstage talking to Eddie Izzard, just hanging on his every word like I was a groupie. Just a great time.
And you know what's great is people then write us and say thanks for such a great night, and I think to myself,
we do it for us really more than we do it for you.
Nor do we do anything that night.
No, we just show up.
It's all the comedians, and they just do it, and we love it too.
I want to thank Beer Mug for getting the music. For the event, that was great. I appreciate
that. Was his one
job. His one job that he had to bring the music for the house. And, so.
And then what happened, Ralph?
Oh, that's right. He forgot that. Mm. He forgot to do that. Lisa May forgot her tickets. It was the room was a mess, really.
Yeah. Kevin ran into a tree.
And then I did want to break up the fact that Kevin showed up bleeding. I don't know why he showed up to the event bleeding.
How are you going to come and be like that?
Because you were bleeding when you got there.
Well,
and I said, what the hell? I walked into a branch.
He had a head wound.
It's just a scratch.
I walked into a branch. Did you see that tree in front of you, huh, Kev? Oh, they jump out
well,
at
sometimes
you.
Sometimes a branch.
They can be tricky.
Sometimes a branch will hang down a little.
Yeah.
It's small. You can't see it.
That's true. Look, we all walk into branches almost every day. Oh, no. Wait a minute.
My wife said, I would pay $1 million to have video of that.
Kev getting stabbed in
the
head.
I was by myself at the time.
Yeah, it was good times.
Back to you.
I was on the potted bus. I got off and a tree hit me. This is bad news. I don't like this. Not a bit.
What?
Axl Rose has a new girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
If you believe TMZ.com.
It better not be one of our favorites.
Axl dated a list of supermodels back in the 90s, of course, when Guns N' Roses was on top of the food chain in the music industry, like Stephanie Seymour.
Oh, yeah.
Was a famous girlfriend of his. Now, according to TMZ.com, Axl is seeing Lana Del Rey.
Obviously.
She's 25. He is 50, by the way.
And fat with cornrows.
He's an odd duck and with a lot of plastic surgery, and he's a strange-looking man. But Lana Del Rey.
Oh, no! Oh, God! Oh, no, 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 no!
Ew! Lana Del Rey continues her descent into douchebaggery, so take that for what it's worth. Did you see One Direction on Saturday Night Live this weekend?
No.
Oh, my goodness. You know, ratings were huge, by the way, because this One Direction... It's the new Bieber, people. This is the hot teen sensation.
Well,
this
I think Sofia Vergara helped a little bit in that department with the ratings, too, by the way.
I don't think
she was the host.
She was the host. But I don't think people were just dying to see Sofia Vergara on Saturday Night Live. I really don't think she was driving eyes to the set. I mean, Jonah Hill, much more in tune with that audience, didn't have a successful bump for that show's ratings.
Yeah, you could
but One Direction, all the little girls stayed up late to watch their dream team. 16%.
Wow.
The ratings were up. Because all the little girls were sticking around, staying up late to watch their dreamy boyfriends One Direction on the show.
We knew eventually boy bands were going to come back. We had a few years off after the high days of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and all those. Yeah. But it's back around again.
So stop it, One Direction. That's what we're saying, basically. Stop being you. And Clint Eastwood is suing a furniture company. He claims that one of their products was named after him. I don't know if he's got a case or not. It is called the Clint 47-inch Entertainment Center. Now, it's something called Clint simply does not necessarily, I think, mean that it's Clint Eastwood. Let me take a quick look at the description in the catalog of the piece. When you're invited to a person's home, it reads, you get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's
when
a movie he was in.
Visitors come to your home, the Clint 47-inch Entertainment Center makes your family room alone look like you live in a perfect world of a million-dollar baby.
That's a movie he was in.
Yeah, those were two movies he was in. So he's filed suit in Los Angeles Superior Court, and once it stopped, and I don't know anything about this company, which is called Evo Furniture, but I would stop if I were you.
Yes.
Because I saw what Clint Eastwood did to some Asian kids once that lived in his neighborhood, and you would not want to be on his bad side.
Just a movie, Gran Torino.
Are you a fan like me of The Bachelor? Of course you are.
Nope.
Bachelor and The Bachelorette, two of the greatest shows on television.
Oh, no! Oh, God! Oh, no, 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 no!
Well, the good news is they're bringing back Bachelor Pad, which is awesome! It's like all the biggest lunatics from The Bachelor and Bachelorette living together in a house competing. No, it's great, Bachelor Pad. But this year, they're putting a twist on it. Putting a twist on Bachelor Pad this year. They're going to have alumni from the show on, competing against hot super fans of the show. So it's fans versus alumni from The Bachelor on Bachelor Pad.
No!
If you want to be involved, go to www.bachelor.tv.
No!
And that's where you can sign up, submit your video to the casting people. And if you're a fan like I am, you might get on Bachelor Pad.
Brand new
season of Bachelor
Pad.
That's
a bunch of hogwash.
It's a great, great idea. Today's celebrity birthdays, Elle Fanning is 14 years old today. Kristen Stewart of the Twilight franchise celebrates her 22nd birthday. Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is 26. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes and Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance have their birthdays today. Jenna Jameson, former adult actress, is 38. Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City is 46. Dennis Quaid celebrates his 58th birthday. And Hugh Hefner, the man who brought us boobs. Boobs. Boobs.
Which Tim Minchin, who's coming in the next hour, loves a lot.
He loves boobs.
He did an entire song about that at April Fool's.
He did. He is 86 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Comedian Tim Minchin just played Saturday night. Kevin Bean's April Foolishness joins us in studio in just a few minutes, and we'll tell you how you can meet him tomorrow night and see him perform as well for free. Also, the guy who's trying to get Weird Al a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, we'll talk to later on today, too. And we've got Coachella tickets you could win at 9 o'clock this morning right here on K-Rock.
David Bowie, a name we don't bring up very often, has announced that he will reissue his classic 1972 album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust.
Any significant album these days, if an anniversary rolls around and the record company sees the opportunity to make money off of it, they'll reissue it. But it's actually kind of cool for the fans because every time they do that, they end up usually finding bonus tracks or finding video or they do a do something new for it. You know, like Ziggy Stardust, 40 years, that's a landmark album. That's one of the greatest rock albums of all time. It's kind of cool, especially since David Bowie seems to be retired these days, doesn't make any new records.
Yeah, you don't see him around a lot, do you? But Dave was able to get him on the phone. Which
David Bowie?
Yeah, David Bowie.
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, David Bowie, hi.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. Good morning, Kevin and Dean.
Good morning, we were calling.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. Good morning, Kevin and Dean.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Bowie. How are you today?
I'm doing very well.
We better save our questions.
I'm doing very well.
Oh, okay.
I'm feeling very well.
All right, you're doing well.
I'm feeling very well.
Okay. 40 years since the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. This was one of your characters that you created, Ziggy Stardust. It was kind of a concept album about a guy coming down to Earth, I think. What do you remember about that time in your career?
Here's what I do remember. Here's what I do remember. I remember Ziggy Stardust. Album came out 40 years ago.
Right.
Okay. It's funny because I thought we knew that much.
Yeah. So the reissue, do you have anything to do with that?
Reissuing Ziggy Stardust.
Right. That, we said that.
I'm reissuing Ziggy
Stardust. Right. What's new about the reissue, though?
I'm reissuing Ziggy Stardust. Going to reissue Ziggy Stardust.
Okay, we have all that, but we wonder if you could tell your fans what's going to be included in this new reissue that they haven't already seen or heard.
Shut up and give me money. Just buy the album and give me money.
I see, it's a cat.
Don't want to talk, just want more money. Buy my album and give me money.
I gotcha.
I'm married to Iman.
Yes, yeah, you are.
She spends a lot of money.
I see, so you need more.
I need some more money. Buy my album and give me money.
Listen, Mr. Bowie, we got to go, but we want to thank you for coming on and talking to us today.
It's been my pleasure, fella.
You just talk like a normal person.
It's been my pleasure, fella.
Thank you, Dave.
Good enough to
say. Glad to be on your program. Have me on some other day. We can talk more about my career. I've got so many stories for you.
Some of it.
About the time I did Mick Jagger.
Wow.
We had bisexual sex in a bathroom.
That's not interesting.
Oh, now it's getting good and we have to go.
106.7
Hey. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Easy, you just scared Tim.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's full on.
Come Tim Minchin is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We saw him Saturday night at April Foolishness. Hi, Tim. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, thanks for having me. Did I survive April Foolishness? Was it okay
we
from your
you
point
great.
Of view?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Here's... I put you on the spot a bit there, really. You weren't exactly going to say it.
No, we would like.
I'm average. Just grateful you're wearing shoes today. Now, what is the deal with you performing barefoot? Do you know how many people have thrown up on the stage at the Gibson?
Well, that's it. I feel like I need to get in touch with the performers who have come before me. And the best way to do that is to infuse a little bit of their vomit through the soles of my feet. The soul.
Interesting.
It's the only soul I've got.
Well, then you use what you have.
We were so happy that you were able to come out for this because I could be wrong about this, but I don't feel like you're in America all the time.
No, I'm not. I prefer other geographies. No,
yes.
my children and my wife are in London, and so there's a certain sort of social obligation.
Understood.
To
yes.
be there.
Of
yeah.
course. So we were so grateful that you were able to join us. And, of course, we love to mix up the bill every year for April Foolishness. I think there was only one returning performer from last year, and that was Jim Jeffries. So you know, some people, you know, a lot of people there have never seen you before. So
yeah.
We're fans. We know you're great, but we don't know how it's going to go over that night when you step up, especially somebody like you who's doing something totally different, something that, you know, you really have to kind of pay attention to.
Yeah,
to
you,
get
you guys took a bit of a risk.
A little bit of a risk.
But then again, if you're getting Jim Jefferies back for the second year in a row, you're probably pretty good with risk.
I had somebody leave during Jim Jefferies and don't laugh at this. And I was like, I find this funny as hell.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, as a performer, you're coming on. You came on right after Brad Williams, right?
The midget? That was really, really hard.
Okay, so Brad Williams, a midget.
He's not a midget. He's a dwarf, but he calls himself a midget.
He calls himself a midget.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, it is. And Little People of America hate him.
Yeah.
They pick at him and everything. So he's out there and he killed. I mean,
yeah,
he really
absolutely
super high
stormed,
energy, running back and forth across the stage.
Ends up doing a topless lap dance for Lisa May.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him. And then they bring out the piano. And then your pacing is so unbelievably the opposite of what happened. Were you worried about that pacing?
No. I actually, as I was watching him, I was thinking, oh, God, this is going to be really hard to follow. But I had already planned to do my song Cont before
went on. Cont, for those who are getting nervous, C-O-N-T.
C-O-N-T. And that has to start very awkwardly.
Right.
And actually, that was perfect because
if
you have someone storming before you, if you come out at the same level, all you're trying to do is compete. But I came down and got everyone to sort of into a completely different headspace so that I could take it from where I wanted to take it, sort of thing.
You did, and I'll tell you why, because we were sitting down in the crowd and I was like, what the F is he doing?
Well, I was talking about statistics.
But you clearly had your plan. You were very patient with your comedy and your looks, and sometimes it's just an eye. And I thought to myself, I would be inclined if I were him to try and compete with Brad.
Try to ramp it up a little bit.
But you were brilliant. Yeah.
I was going to cut my legs off and come on. But that's too much.
You did say coming on after Brad, what I wouldn't give for a gimmick like that.
Yeah. Which was a bit harsh. It was meant to be a joke about myself, but it sounded like I was just picky on the little guy.
No, it was
he
funny.
He could take it.
Gotta say, though, Brad is, how old is he? He's pretty,
he's about 27 or something.
He's really, really funny.
He is
so charismatic.
Relentless. I was trying to pay him to go out and hump Larry King's leg.
Yeah.
I thought that would be funny.
Surely you wouldn't have to pay him to do that.
I wouldn't have, but I got stopped by the people that were there.
Aww.
Come on. That's just
really
some,
boring.
That's just some good fun, right?
Yeah, why does Larry King have legs if
right.
they're not for humping?
Right, thank you.
His legs are made for humping.
you have the performer's intuition on how to read the room, and you play him like a violin. That's what's amazing is you take it to the point where I feel like he's going to lose him, and then you manage to pull him back along with you, which is just remarkable to watch.
Well, what I've decided, because I came to comedy through music, and
you were a musician first?
Yeah, long before. I mean, I only started comedy when I was about 30, a bit earlier, And what I realized early on, because I never did the clubs or anything, I just sort of started doing these cabaret shows, basically, and they ended up in theaters, and I just went from there. So I never got that pressure you get when you're a stand-up comic of every Friday, Saturday night you're doing hens parties and bucks parties and stuff, and you have to do jokes that go, I had my space, I've always had my space, and long ago I thought, wherever I am in the world, you know, I tour in the US and Australia and Britain, wherever I'm just going to do what I do completely without taking into account anybody else, including which audience it is.
Right.
And it's a good philosophy, you know, because there'll be, you shouldn't ever condescend to your audience. Like, my stuff's quite wordy and nerdy and stuff. And the audience might be laughing hysterically at a little dude with no shirt on humping a woman's leg.
Which they were.
But that doesn't mean that they are only that. You've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I came straight out and started talking about p-values, and they all laughed. You should never presume an audience can't get what you've got.
I don't even know what a p-value is, but I think it involves urine.
Yeah, it's something to the value of excretion. Yeah.
Tim Minchin is here, by the way. He's got a very busy time in Southern California. You are at the Largo, of course, tonight and tomorrow night, and those are already sold out. Then you're going up to Santa Barbara and then down to San Diego. But the important thing for our listeners is free Tim Minchin at the Amoeba store tomorrow night.
Really?
6 o'clock.
Awesome.
6 o'clock. Have you been over to Amoeba yet?
I haven't, no.
It's the largest record store in America.
I've heard it's absolutely amazing.
It's incredible.
Did you not know you were going to be there, that it's free?
Which
part of
it? I'm putting my hat out, man. They might think it's free.
Which part through you?
You're going to be performing about a 30-minute performance on the little performance space. And by the way, it's a great space. Everybody from, you know, Lana Del Rey to Paul McCartney has performed over there. It's really, really fun.
It's about time they stepped it up and had me on.
Exactly, right? And that's going going to be at 6 o'clock, schlubs. And then you're going to be following with a signing. And I am so excited to see that your very first U.S. CD-DVD combo is finally available here. I mean, your stuff has been available in other territories for a long time.
Yeah, it's been for a couple of years, Americans have had to steal my stuff or not have it. And mm-hmm.
We've stolen.
I respect that course of action. But now, if you want to throw some money at something.
It's called Ready for This, and they've got it for sale. I was down in Amoeba yesterday. They got it for sale. It's $12 or something like that for the CD and the DVD.
Amazing
and
it is
outstanding. So meet Tim, watch Tim perform, get an autograph from Tim. That'll be at the Amoeba Record Store in Hollywood. That's at Sunset in Cahuenga. That'll be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. All right, we're going to send you off into the other room, and I think you're actually going to try to perform live at an ungodly hour of the morning.
I'm gonna play a song from Ready for This. Yeah.
This Fantastic. Is going to be a treat. Tim Minchin is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to timminchin.com or follow him on Twitter at Tim Minchin. We'll be right back with more on The Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday after April Foolishness 2012, which was Saturday night at the Gibson. Thanks again to everybody who came out and made it such a success. By the way, a complete recap available for you at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. All sorts of pictures. Do we get a video of the lap dance? By the way,
I'm not positive.
Complete recap of everything that you missed. I'm already so excited about next year. Tim Minchin is here. Tim was one of the stars of Saturday night. I think you won over a lot of new fans, Tim, on Saturday night.
Thanks. Good. That's good. I need them.
And you're going to be at the Amoeba Record Store tomorrow night at 6 o'clock performing live, and you are going to be performing for us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, I love your stuff. Been a fan for a while, but I don't know what you have that's radio friendly. What are you going to come up with here?
So am I allowed to swear at the Amoeba?
Yes, you can do whatever you want at the Amoeba, yes.
Half an hour, so I probably won't do this one there, because this is one I wrote a little while ago because I never had anything I could do on radio.
Okay.
And I thought I should write something nice for radio, and I got together with the woman I'm now married to when I was 17, so she's kind of, you know.
Wow.
It's kind of my one true love, you know, so I thought I'm going to write a song for my Sarah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
So it's a love song.
It's a love song, and it's called If I Didn't Have You.
Oh, that's beautiful.
If I didn't have you to hold me tight, if I didn't have you to lie with that night, if I didn't have you to share my sighs and to kiss me and dry my tears when I cry, well, I really think that I would have somebody else. Someone else would do. Your love is one in a million. You couldn't buy it at any price. But of the 9.99900,000 other possible loves, statistically, some of them would be equally nice. Or maybe not as nice, but say smarter than you, or dumber but better at sport, or colouring. I'm just saying I'm probably, if I were a rich man, diddle 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 diddle, I guess I would be with a surgeon or a model or a rally of the royals or a Kennedy or a nymphomaniacal exhibitionist heiress to a large chain of hotels. If I were a rich man, maybe I would fiddle, fiddle diddle diddle with the rich man girls. I'm not saying that I'd not love you if I were wealthy or handsome, but realistically there's lots of fish in the sea, and if I had a different rod I would conceivably land some. Even though I am fiscally consistently pitiable and considerably less Brad Pitt than Brad Pitiful, am I really so poor and ugly that you think only you could possibly love me? And I think I'd probably. Look, I'm not undervaluing what we got when I say that given the role chaos inevitably plays and the inherently flawed notion of fate, it's abstruse to deduce I found my soulmate at the age of 17. It's just mathematically unlikely that at a university in Perth I happen to stumble on the one girl on earth specifically designed for me. And if I may conjecture a further objection, love is nothing to do with destined perfection. The connection is strengthened, the affection simply grows over time, like a flower or a mushroom or a guinea pig or a vine or a sponge or bigotry or banana. And love is made more powerful by the ongoing drama of shared experience and the synergy of a kind of symbiotic empathy or something like that. So I trust it goes without saying that I would feel really very sad if tomorrow you'd fall off something high or catch something bad. But I'm just saying, I don't think you're special. I mean, I obviously think you're special, but you fall within a bell curve.
I mean, I'm just saying, I think I'd probably... I think you are unique and beautiful. You make me happy to spy being around. But objectively, you would have to agree that, baby, when I found you, options are relatively thin on the ground. You're lovely, but there must be girls as lovely as you, and maybe more open to spanking or table tennis. I'm just saying, I think I'd probably... I mean, I reckon it's pretty likely that if, for example, my first girlfriend Jackie hadn't dumped me after I kissed Winston's ex-girlfriend Nia at Steph's party back in 1993, enough variables would probably have been altered by the absence of that event to have meant the advent of a tangential narrative in which we don't meet. Which is to say, there exists a theoretical, hypothetical, parallel life where what is not as it is, and I'm not your husband, and you are not my wife. And I am a stuntman living in LA, married to a small blonde Portuguese skier who, when she's not training, does abstract painting, practices yoga, and brews her own beer, and really likes making home movies, and suffers neck down alopecia. Just a little bit of isolated hair loss. But with all my heart and all my mind, I know one thing is true. I have just one life and just one love, and my love, that love is you. And if it wasn't for you, darling, you, hey, I think I'd almost definitely have somebody else.
Are you kidding me? All right, that's insane. Tim, how long does it take a guy to write a song like that?
I don't know. I remember. It was a little while ago.
I mean, do they just flow out of you once you sit down and have the concept, or does it take months to come up with that many lyrics?
Those songs, like doing Sudokus, you know, they're like you have an idea and then you have a framework and then you just have to relentlessly fill in bits and
the people who know this show and know Bean and I know that I couldn't do that if I sat down and had a lifetime to
look,
do
if
it.
Look, if Tim put the lyrics in front of you, couldn't read it out loud and not screw it up. That's unbelievable. Do you ever lose track of where you are when you have that many lyrics?
Well, it's pretty scary doing radio because that backing track goes and goes and goes. Yes. If I lost
you can't improv it, right?
I wouldn't be able to get back in.
Oh, sure.
Because it's circular. So if I lost the lyrics then, I'd just have to go, ha, ha, ha.
Let me start again.
I just screwed up on radio. whereas in my live shows, I can always get away with it because I can just get up and make a bit of chaos. But you have to learn it pretty hard.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. And how's the little woman feel about it? Is it the tribute love song that she always hoped to hear from her dear husband?
I'm not sure she thought it was very funny when she first heard it.
is Jackie real?
Jackie's real. They're all real. Oh. Everything's real. But it's very romantic, actually, that song.
Nope, it's not really.
Yeah, no, it really is.
By the way, it's so funny you should say that, and I know we probably don't have time to get into this. There are two types of people in the world. There are people who believe we're soulmates, thank God we found each other of all the people on earth because we're the only two people who could ever be happy together.
Yeah.
And then there's guys like me and presumably you who go, if it hadn't been her, it would have been somebody else.
Yeah, but that's more meaningful because you're actually choosing to be with someone. If you think that some divine being put you together, then when your marriage starts being imperfect, you're like, oh, where did this come from? A bit of reality allows space for more romance. You
and
know?
That's what you're trying to promote with that song.
Yeah. All my songs, I've got this sort of preachy rationalist bent to my show. So
of your songs, here's what I love about you the most. All of your songs are so insulting and wrong, and then they turn, and then they're wrong, and then they turn, and then they're wrong. Like,
but I'm never wrong.
Never.
I'm always right.
But have you ever run into any problems, Tim? And this is the voice of Tim Minchin here on the Kevin and Bean. So if you tune in the middle of that phenomenal song and thought, what's going on? Why is the Kevin and Bean show suddenly smart? Have there ever been critics of your comedy who have taken parts of your songs out of context and tried to pin that on you?
I had a song that I recorded for a Christmas show of a late night show in England called Late Night with Jonathan Ross. He's like our Letterman.
Right.
And I wrote it for them and recorded it, and it was called Woody Allen Jesus, and it was comparing Jesus to all these sort of contemporary things like Komodo dragons and stuff and Superman. And they pulled it at the last minute because they were scared they would offend people.
Yeah.
And then the right wing
right wing, the conservative press got hold of it and put my lyrics in their paper. And the whole point about musical comedy is that you're sitting there playing a piano and you can get away with murder because you're like, look at my, you know, I've got clever fingers. Forgive me. But my lyrics printed on paper in a conservative newspaper, that's just,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you quote them absolutely word for word.
Yes.
It's still out of context.
You're still right. Al-Qaeda to them, right?
Exactly, because the context is me sitting at a piano and my audience watching me, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I get in a bit of trouble, but mostly I just play for the people who want to come and see me. I'm mostly a live act. I don't do a huge amount of telly. So people who like me, come and see me, and we all have a hot time. And if you don't like me being mean about Jesus, don't come to my show.
Well, you're sold out at the Largo tonight and tomorrow night. I suspect the next time you come back to Southern California, you're going to be playing a reasonable-sized venue that lots of people are going to want to come to see you, I would imagine.
Well, I think so.
Largo's pretty small, dude.
Largo's small, but we could have done bigger venues in L.A., but there's something very cool. Every time, this is about my seventh Largo show, every time I come back, I sell out the Largo in a flash, and people go...
Because 10 people can go.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, but I'm keeping myself scarce. I'm like truffles. You have to be a pig to find me.
Plus, it's not hard to sell out, so you can always go ahead and sell it out.
Well, that's
time.
Exactly right. Yeah.
The Amoeba show is free and open to the public. Make yourself time tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Tim is going to be performing for about a half an hour or so there on their performance stage, and then he's following that up with a signing. You can also go by and buy Ready for This, Tim's first U.S. DVD/CD release. If you can't make it in person, of course, that's available online through, you know, Amazon, or get it through iTunes or however you prefer to get your music. And it's well worth it. I mean, it's just an hour just jam-packed of hilarious stuff. Tim, so great to get to meet you in person, man. Thank you so much for Saturday night. We really enjoyed it.
I had an absolute ball at the show, and thanks for having me on.
We had a great, great, great lineup without you, and you made it even better. So
awesome. I was extraneous, but cool.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Hey, he's saying your Harry Potter glasses don't work very well.
I'm sorry.
If that's what you saw last night on television.
I couldn't see it very well. Hey, listen, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, I'm actually kind of excited about this. Richard Deere is going to be joining us. He has written a
Richard Deere Anderson?
Nope.
MacGyver?
Nope. He has written a new book where he is, and he's not some hack, by the way. This guy was like a police investigator for decades. He has written a book where he is convinced that O.J. Simpson did not kill his ex-wife and the waiter guy.
Finally, justice will be done.
He says that O.J.'s son, who had a very violent history, is the one who had the knife and the one who killed the people, and that O.J. went to prison to protect his son.
Spoiler alert.
Well, the book is out there.
Just ruin the guy's routine,
no,
man.
Just going to come in here.
And everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, we already know. We know what you have to say.
Heard it.
Tell your story walking, pal.
We'll find out.
Bean ruined it for us yesterday.
We'll find out why he thinks all of that, what he's got to say about it, and if it possibly means them reopening the investigation.
When you hear O.J. Simpson didn't do it, you think, oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
But if his son did it and he's covering, you could see that happen.
Sounds like something I saw in Law and Order once, man. So that means it could have happened in real life, too. So he'll be joining us tomorrow right here on
William
the Kevin
Deere
and Bean
will
Show.
Be joining us, not Richard.
What did I say?
William Deere.
Oh, did I get his name wrong?
You said Richard Deere.
Oh, whatever. I don't think we could get William. I think we got his brother Richard. He's read the book, though.
To which I responded, Richard Deere Anderson. The guy's name is Richard Dean Anderson, but
right.
No one called me on that. I don't want to get an email saying, that's not his name, stupid.
Well, it's funny because I've got the Bill O'Reilly's site up here from Fox where it says his name is William Deere.
Yeah.
Yet for some reason I
you
read
said
it
Richard.
And said Richard Deere.
Well, you're
so
close to Kevin.
I guess I'm.
It's a communicable disease sometimes.
How dare you?
Too close. I'm breathing the same air.
Blame that on me. Rob, sir, with the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday. What's going on?
It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, and today is no different. Hunger Games, $33.5 million made Hunger Games.
Oops, number, that's
what?
Not right.
That's why sad news for Hunger Games. I think they did pretty well for themselves.
There
you go.
That's the right button.
Wow.
I have a mess.
3 weeks in a row. Hunger Games, number one at the box office. Did better in its third week than it even did in its second week. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
In fact, it's going to break $400 million this week. Globally. Around the world. Pretty impressive.
Mug said, and I think they made it for like $700,000.
Yeah, that's what they did. They shot it on a camcorder in a backyard in Pacoima.
He's not up to date on
it. I think it cost $75 million, I think, Mug.
Oh.
Yeah.
Worth
Which
it.
Is cheap by movie standards, but not $700,000 worth.
Which is nothing by movie.
This show is nothing but wrong information.
It really is. We're just not the media of record for anyone.
But we don't pretend to be right.
Yeah, I do.
Right.
I do sometimes.
No.
Yeah. American Reunion, the American Pie sequel, came in at number 2 with $21.5 million. Titanic 3D did did less than expected, but still about $17.5 million. Not bad for a movie that almost everyone on the planet's already seen.
Yeah.
Wrath of the Titans was fourth. Then Mirror Mirror, 21 Jump Street, The Lorax, Salmon Fishing in Yemen. Fashion Fishing in Yemen would be more interesting to me. John Carter and Safe House rounding up your top 10 at the box office. This weekend, Mike Wallace passed away. Legendary, groundbreaking TV journalist passed away Saturday night in a care facility in New Haven, Connecticut, at the age of 93 years old.
About time.
For those of you who, why do you want Mike to go bye-bye?
What are you talking about?
Those of you who didn't watch his work on 60 Minutes, he was the master of ambush journalism. He'd show up at your place of business or something if you were doing wrong, and you had to answer Mike's questions in the most uncomfortable way. He also was a great interviewer of celebrities. Did a classic Johnny Carson interview when Johnny Carson really wouldn't give interviews to anybody else. Barbara Streisand, Roger Clemens. His Roger Clemens interview was well received as well. So a lot of people sat down across from Mike, and he did about 800 reports and won 20 Emmys in his career in 60 Minutes.
Just 20 Emmys, that's it?
That's all. Hmm. Maria Menounos continues to be a total media whore.
Is she still on Dancing with the Stars?
I don't watch that show. I'm not sure. She has been competing with two broken ribs, though, on Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
Broke her ribs while rehearsing a dance. She's a reporter, she's a dancer, and now she's a wrestler.
What?
She loves the wrestling.
In Touch Weekly magazine was on hand when she partnered up with Kelly Kelly from the WWE for a stint on WrestleMania. And she took on Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres. And those names mean nothing to me, but apparently they're all wrestlers. Just why don't you just wear a sign around your neck, Maria, saying, just please notice me. She's dancing, she's wrestling, just anything for people to pay attention to her.
Who gives a damn?
Meanwhile, while Maria Menounos is being an attention whore, Catherine McPhee is doing good for the planet. Oh, how about that? Little difference. Catherine McPhee was handing out mosquito nets to natives in Ghana.
That's about the same.
To help protect against malaria.
Was she doing any salmon fishing in Yemen while she was there?
No, she wasn't. She's part of a charity called Malaria No More, which hands out mosquito netting and malaria medication to natives in countries that are suffering with the problem of mosquitoes passing that disease.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda was not there, but Catherine McPhee was handing out nets to stop malaria. Unfortunately, many of the people she was with got a fever anyway. A Mick fever! They said, who is this woman giving me a net? Oh, I'm very sweaty all of a sudden. Oh, I have the Mick fever! There's no cure for that, my friends.
No, you've had it
There's
since
no
day one.
Net, no net can protect you from that.
Having said that, are you watching Smash?
Love Smash.
Her hit TV show?
Love
You're
Smash.
Not watching it.
Smash has been brought back already for a second season.
Is it any good?
It's committed.
Or do you just watch it because you have
it's
the McFever?
It's committed.
He doesn't
Is it any
watch
good,
it.
Or do you just watch it with the sound down to look
like
at Cat?
It. I like it.
Truth?
He doesn't Yes. I got to leave the sound up because she's singing on it. She's great.
Okay.
And Megan Hilty, a very talented Broadway performer as well, is also on that show, and she's outstanding. It's very entertaining. It's like Glee for grown-ups. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Hugh Hefner. How about Hugh Hefner?
How about Hugh Hefner?
What has he done in his life? Oh, just brought us Playboy magazine. Just brought us the Playmate, the Bunny. Just created a whole lifestyle of that men everywhere would love to emulate and be part of. That's all. That's all he's done.
Yeah.
86 years old today. Dennis Quaid's 58. Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City is 46. Kevin Martin of Candlebox is 43. Jenna Jameson celebrates her 38th birthday. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, not only a singer and songwriter, but an excellent comic book writer and a fellow geek. He is 35 years old. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 32. Leighton Meester of Gossip Girl fame is 26. Kristen Stewart is 22 years old. And Elle Fanning, what a talented actress she is. Did you see that Super 8?
Yes, I did.
She was in. Boy, she was terrific.
Tremendous.
In that
she was
film.
Good in that.
14 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This weekend is Coachella. Weekend one.
Ella.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Listen to K-Rock all week at 9 a.m. noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m., you can score a pair of three-day passes to Coachella. It's sold out, but you can win them from the world-famous K-Rock. And I put up a post today at krock.com if you'd like to go check that out of some of the people enjoying Coachella. Some of the fans,
people,
perhaps.
People, you mean just hot chicks. That's that's in the gallery and the video that you put
that
up.
That may have happened accidentally, but I'm just saying that these are people that are really enjoying themselves at Coachella. If you want to see what it's like, you might want to go and check it out. But if you're going to try and convince your parents that it's a good thing to go to, don't use that.
Yes. If you want to see what girls dress like when it's 100 degrees outside in the desert, go to krock.com.
I got a few of those.
Check it out. And you can also get a complete recap of this weekend's April Foolishness is available at krock.com as well. I'm actually excited to talk to our man, Tim. He emails us from Hermosa. This is a problem I don't know that we've addressed on the Kevin and Bean Show before, but Tim writes in.
Tim is your kind of people, by the way.
Why?
Because this is totally something that should and would bother you. This is right up your alley.
Tim, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you very
much. The smaller the offense, the more anger is taken. That's what
Tim is listening to the program on Friday, I guess, when our man Jason Biggs was in here promoting American Reunion and writes this email. Jason Biggs just used the word rotache. Remember he said, I'll put it in the rotache.
Yes, it's meaning rotation.
Which brings to mind an issue that I have with a lot of my friends and the use of shortened words. It is driving me effing crazy. This is a problem that has to stop immediately.
Oh, totes.
I am talking about words like totes, vacay instead of vacation, cockies instead of cocktails. Do your friends really say, hey, let's go out for some cockies? Because that may not be what they mean.
You know what? It's insane. Apparently, according to my buddy's wife and her besties, they just think that I'm jelly and that I'm being ridiculous.
You don't want to be ridiculous.
No, I don't. And it's absolutely insane. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's in print or whether they use these words in conversation. What bugs me more, but I just want to pull my hair out when I hear these words.
Don't you get the idea, though, that this is society and you're pretty much just going to have to get on board because you're not going to change?
Absolutely not. Why do you think I'm calling you today?
Well, I'm saying you're not going to change the whole way people talk.
Well, how long has this been going on, Tim? Is this just something you've noticed recently, or has it been the anger has been building inside of you for a long time, and now you've just had too much?
Well, I've noticed it probably in the last 2 to 3 years. It's become more prevalent, obviously, with Facebook.
Well, the book. We call it the book.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I remember when Psycho Mike, before he was banned from being on the show, I remember when Psycho Mike was trying to bring back totes. He was using totes all the time. And it drove us crazy because it's so stupid. Like, why? If you want to say totally, say totally. It doesn't. You're not so busy that you don't have time to say totally. Right?
No, it's not busy. It's just they think it sounds...
But why is totes better than totally?
I don't know, but he did it so much, it sounds fine to me.
It sounds normal now, right? Is totes one that you hear with your friends too, Tim?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I think they're just trying to be cute and fun. And I said to my friend's wife on Friday, I said, I'm sorry, Kim, but, you know, you're not 39 anymore, hon. You know, she was not happy with
nice.
That.
Nice.
So you do bring it up to them, and what kind of response do they get? Do they just look at you like you're the crazy one?
Is it aux?
Yeah. Well, again, I'm being ridiculous. So
you're being ridiculous, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know where the tipping point was. I just noticed it probably, again, within the last couple of years, it just drives me insane.
What about something that has really taken over? Instead of saying brother, you say bro. I mean, that's taken over.
That's become the more common
yes,
word, probably.
Does that bug you?
You know what? Bro doesn't. People were asking me, well, what about, like, trickeration and, you know, made-up words? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just the shortened versions that have no...
Shortened versions.
Yeah, the shortened versions that have no abbreviation kind of history.
So if somebody says, I'll give you a call, give me your deets. That drives you crazy because it's details, right?
I would roll my eyes and ask, how old are you? But I think I would probably let that go a little bit.
Okay, that one you'd let go.
What kind of calls are we looking for, by the way? People who have similar hatred
yes.
for this same thing?
Yeah, I think we need... Because if this guy doesn't vent... Then he's going to blow.
Right. Okay.
And he's going to start killing people. So
okay.
Those of you that are driven crazy by the abbreves, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 and let us know which ones drive you the most crazy.
Yeah, because everybody seems to have people in their circle that are using these
cray.
Words.
Sorry.
It's cray. Yeah,
cray.
This is cray.
Sorry.
1-800-520-1067.
We don't have all day. It's going to be an abbreve sesh.
It is so funny. There are some, I mean... How does some of them get started? Like, again, you said it's not about not having enough time. But pizza, for instance, is a perfect example. Pizza is a fine word. It's a very reasoned word. It's an easy word to say. It's an easy word to pronounce. It rolls off the tongue. When did people start calling it za? Like, why does pizza have to be za?
You want to get some za?
We started getting stoned and didn't have the energy to say the whole
that
word.
That could be.
Is that it?
That could be the sitch.
All right. Well, listen, Tim, are we going to say goodbye to Tim?
Or
is
no, he gonna, I don't know.
Is he going to hang on for the rest of the convo?
Let me hang on. I want to hear this.
All right. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for Tim's peeps right now. That's Tim's peeps at 1-800-520-1067. What are the shortened words that you've been hearing that are driving you cray? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's The Rock on the world famous Rock at 20 minutes after 8.
Talking to our man Tim in Hermosa Beach here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He sent us a desperate email. He said, guys, you've got to help me out. All of my friends are shortening all the words. And it's driving me insane. I can't do it anymore.
I spent some time over the weekend making sure that my resis were right for Coachella.
Come on. That's ridiculous. Okay. That's ridiculous. 1-800-520-1067. Tim, we're going to take some calls here and find out what other things people are hearing and see if they're also driving you crazy. And we'll just take them in order, starting with Erica. She is on line one. Erica, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with the Kevin, Bean, and Tim Show.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I am so annoyed by my friends. They use the word prob.
They use the word what?
Prob, like instead of probably.
No, no prob. Oh, I see.
No. With
probably.
An S.
I see. Okay.
You know, they use it, they shorten the words and then they add S's to them.
That's weird.
Isn't that? I find that really annoying. I feel
so
like
you
everybody.
Are you coming over tonight? And they go, probs.
Probs.
What about prolly? What about when people say prolly instead of probably?
That's
what about
just
that?
Lazy.
You know what the thing is? It's laziness. I feel like, you know that movie, Luke Wilson did a movie, Idiocracy?
Yes, yes.
I feel like we're just becoming so stupid that we don't want to use, like, whatchamacallit?
The full not word?
Valid, props word. English?
Props English, yeah. I just find it funny. I think it's
we don't
funny.
Use the props English.
Exactly. Right. See, it sounds good when you say it. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the call. Hey, Tim, let me ask you this. We didn't even get into this when we talked to you a minute ago, and then we'll get to Priscilla here online, too. But let me ask you this. What about the thing that's been happening the last couple of years where people are saying out loud things that started off as internet abbreviations or texts? Like when you hear somebody say LOL or BRB or something like that.
My friends asked me this weekend about LOL, and the one we got into was OMG, and my friends actually write OHEMGEE sometimes. And got to the point, like, when did that become acceptable? I can understand it. I don't, you know, I'm one of those people that loves the English language, and I love to use all the words. And
you could not be more opposite from me,
but more like me.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say. Every time
that
Kevin says you couldn't be more opposite, I'm like, oh, thank Jesus for that. All right, let's see what Priscilla hates. Let's see where she's coming down on this. Priscilla, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's driving you crazy?
Hi.
Cray. What's driving you cray?
The word that I hear a lot of girls say when they go out with their boyfriends is din-din, and it stands for dinner. Like, instead of saying, oh, I'm going out with my boyfriend, like, for dinner, they say, I'm going out for din-din.
Yeah. Are you hanging out with a lot of five-year-olds or what?
No, I just hear girls say that, din-din. Like, at school. They're usually in sororities. That's probably why.
Are they also, do they have to excuse themselves to go potty? Is that happening?
No.
Wow. All right, din-din. Thank you.
Let's try Wesley, line three. Wesley, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Wesley. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I work in apparel, so I'm surrounded by these girls that talk like this. It drives me crazy. And quite frankly, I'm like, I'm stoked that there's so many girls calling in because that gives me hope that... You know, people are actually sane. But the thing is that I didn't even think about in reference to the OMG thing.
Yeah.
This is like taking it a step further, Tim, and that is I can't stand when people abbreviate things when it takes just as long to say the elongated version of it.
Yeah,
like,
OMG
oh
is the same syllable, same amount of
it
syllables.
Doesn't save
yeah,
you
exactly.
Any time. Like, just saying, oh my God. Like, anyway, so that's like a totally separate can of worms, obviously. But
totes.
Like, oh, God, Kevin, you're killing me, bro.
You said bro.
Thank you, Wesley. I think you've really tapped into something here. I mean, these phones are just going insane with people. Let's talk to Sarah on line five. Now, she's got a complaint about the one that seems to be the hottest of all of them right now. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hi. So what annoys me is when people not only abbreviate like, oh, that's driving me cray, they repeat themselves like, oh, that's totes driving me cray cray.
Yeah, they say it twice like din din.
They say it twice like din din. And then the other thing that I just thought of too is that I've been getting abbreviations like this in my professional work emails. So from people that I don't regularly correspond with, they'll send me emails about things and abbreviate like, probs instead of probably.
But see, here's, let me ask you guys a question.
Yes.
Do you think the twit has anything to do with this problem? That you only have 140 characters and so everybody is trying to figure out. Do you think it has anything to do with it?
I think it has something to do with it in that email is not formal. Even email, not just Twitter, but Facebook and email are not formal. And I think that there has been a relaxation of what Tim would consider proper English just because it's a much more informal way that we communicate anymore these days. I think it's a big, big thing. It's a big sea change in how people communicate.
I think Tim is going to have to learn to deal with it or he's going to kill.
And I'll say the other thing, Tim, as a guy who loves the English language, I mean, this is what the language does is it adapts. And eventually all of these things that sound kind of foreign and outside the mainstream to you do end up becoming the common words that people – that everybody is going
to
use. You can't fight it. You know, you can't – I mean, if a language doesn't change, it dies. It goes away.
Yeah, but shortening the language just so we can get a quick sentence in isn't the same as making up a word like Shakespeare would have. And on that point, Sarah Palin, who made up words during the campaign a few years ago, said she was Shakespeare because she made up words too.
Right.
It's a total BS point. But the, you know, shortening words just so we can get a quick conversation in isn't really
convo,
the same
quick
thing.
Convo. And quick by the convo. Way, I think you're bringing a lot of misinformation onto the air here, if you want my opinion. Let's try Anthony on line 7. Now, I haven't heard this one yet, but it doesn't make any sense at all to me. Anthony, thanks for calling the Kevin Amin Show. What's your example?
The one I got that drives me crazy is you welk. Instead of you're welcome, you welk.
You welk?
You welk?
Yeah.
Who's using this?
You welk.
Obviously, a lot of girls are using it, but I work for the railroad, and one of the guys actually said that to one of the guys, and he got cold clock knocked out.
You don't F around with the English language when you're talking about trains. I guess
yeah,
not.
Yeah, these guys are a bunch of rough dudes, and they're good guys. They're fun guys to hang around with, but the guy just playing that.
They're not
just
putting up
that
with
role.
You welk.
Yeah, exactly. He's all, hey, yeah, thank you for that. He's all, oh, you welk.
Yeah.
Cold clock.
Thanks for the call. Let's try Nathan line 2 here on the Kevin Amin Show. Nathan, are you with Tim? Does it drive you crazy that people are shortening all their words?
Nathan?
Hey, how's it going, you
Nate.
Guys? Long time listener.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Are you with Tim that shortening words drives you crazy?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, that's why I said it. You know, people just say it too much. You know, they go too much with it.
And what's the one that they need to broaden their rotation?
What's the
exactly.
one that's killing you these days?
Oh man, a lot of my friends were watching the last season of Jersey Shore here, and you know, Snooki, she comes up with the most retarded things to say, and she's been saying "obvi." And it's just spreading like wildfire around here in Orange County. Obvi. Oh, it's so obvi. It's just like, dude, shut up.
All right. Nathan, thank you very much for calling. We're going to have to leave it there. But, Tim, I mean, unless you want to go live in a cave by yourself, I think you're just going to have to figure out a way to come to grips with what's happening, my friend.
Hell no. I'm fighting the good fight.
You mean hell's no? Hell's no.
Wait, you have more what?
I got more of these issues, so don't get me started.
This isn't his only thing that's driving him
wow.
crazy.
Exactly.
He's going to be, we're going to see, let's remember Tim in Hermosa Beach, because we're going to see him on the news. He's going to be the guy who goes on the shooting spree.
Yeah.
With a paint gun,
we hope. Right, sure. Exactly. Thanks, Tim. Thank Kevin Amin Show here. April Foolishness was this past weekend. We'll catch up with our friend Brad Williams, who may have stolen the show out of all those great comedians on Saturday night. So we'll talk to him next hour and talk about the lap dance he gave Lisa May and how Kevin tried to pay him to hump Larry King's leg. All of that coming up. Speaking of April Foolishness, this is Bean speaking. So I'm in town for a couple days. We got some BS company meetings today. So I'm walking down the street in Hollywood, going back to my hotel yesterday, and I hear the voice of the TMZ guy
what?
Coming out of nowhere. I hear... And and I look around. I go, that's the TMZ guy. And
it's the bus.
Yes, it's the TMZ bus that's driving by. I'm walking down Hollywood Boulevard. He's driving down, and it's just packed. All these people are there. He's the narrator for the TMZ live tour, Harvey Levin?
Well, we use the guys on the show for the video and the bus.
Yep. I wish I had planned ahead better. I'd love to take that tour.
It's integration.
It is. Yeah, there were blacks and whites on the bus.
Exactly.
You're right about that. Yeah,
it's a great tour. I've gone on it, B. It's really good.
If you haven't taken the tour, you can go to TMZ.com and you can see a place to click right on it to do it. And, of course, TMZ Television with all their shows. And we want to start today, Harvey, with I can't believe that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West is a real thing. They must both be doing it for publicity, right?
No. And the hickey is what proves it.
Yeah, tell me about that. That was an awesome photo.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's got a hickey on her neck, and we weren't, because she also has psoriasis. So, you know, it could have been either, but we know based on our sources.
So this
that
is
it
during
is a hickey.
During the married time?
The hickey?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm saying, I didn't know.
No, the hickey.
Because
the hickey
that was the outrage, is that they were together during her marriage.
Yeah, what's the timeline of what Kanye's talking about in the Theraflu song in terms of when they got together and what was anything going on while she was married to Chris Humphries?
Well, they are saying no. They're saying that they've known each other for 8 years. They flirted on and off, but they haven't ever been together until now. That's what they're saying.
All right.
Amber says no way. Amber is saying she's a homewrecker, that she did this. And it is weird that Kanye came out with this song and saying that he loved Kim Kardashian while she was married to Chris Humphries without saying his name.
That does sound like you're making unnecessary trouble for yourself to even admit some sort of overlap.
Yeah, you know what? It's like if they weren't doing it, then they're kind of bad people because they're stirring the pot.
Right.
Even if,
wait,
you know,
you're saying Kanye might be bad and stirring the pot? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, really. I know it's improbable. Wow. But by the way, getting back to it, it was a hickey in New York.
It was a hickey. Okay. We were asking this question on the air, Harvey, and you might know off the top of your head. Has Kim Kardashian ever had sex with a white guy?
I don't know. I'm thinking.
Would you do some research on that? I'm just curious.
I'm just trying to think. I mean,
Spread it around a little bit. That's what I'm saying. You're leaving a whole segment of the population out that would like a shot at you, Kim.
Well,
it's
a thing.
She's got a type. All right.
We got video of her. It's so funny. I stopped the meeting to come talk to you guys, but we were Max was just pitching a video of her walking into a laser hair removal place, and it's like I said to Max during the meeting, I said, it seems to me we've been pitching this for the last 4 years where she walks into this place and, you know, it's like, what's she getting removed at this point? I thought it like all, you know, I thought at the point you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, isn't it supposed to be permanent?
Right, exactly.
And I said to Max, I said, where's she getting anything removed? He says, your shoulder this time.
That writes itself.
He doesn't know.
Those jokes write themselves.
Speaking of the Kardashians, by the way, is it true that Lamar Odom is out in Dallas?
Yes.
He's done with the team?
Just happened. And he is done. So, you know, what we were thinking, if I were him, I would go to Mark Cuban and say, but we just rented a condo.
Yeah.
See what he does.
He's not very smart.
Who, Lamar?
Lamar, no.
Mark Cuban is very smart.
Yeah, Mark Cuban is, but I'm saying Lamar is not.
But isn't the problem with Lamar here that he's just playing so poorly, right?
Yeah,
I mean, their team is
terribly.
Happy to see him leave.
He's playing terribly, though, because he has a horrible attitude. That's the difference in him and Pau Gasol. The rumor was he was traded, too.
Right.
And Pau said, I'm happy to still be here. I'm going to play.
But Lamar went to the...
Demanded the trade.
But Lamar went to the NBA champions. Step up your game and try to be good.
He was terrible. But... Yeah. The other side of it is that, you know, everybody in here thinks Khloe's going to stand by him. I mean, this isn't like her doing this for fame. That, you know, I think she really loves him. So I don't know that it's going to matter.
She loves
for
the candy. She loves candy. Khloe loves the candy.
All right. Last question for Harvey Levin on the phone with TMZ.com. Here, we talk to him every Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin thought this was hilarious. Scarlett Johansson. What's going on with her?
That's awesome.
There's nothing better than people in Mexico who basically, you know, steal somebody's, you know, image, because they come up with the best answers down there. I mean, we had a hilarious one 2 weeks ago, and now there's a guy who has a sex shop, and they sell all sorts of things. I mean, dildos, you name it. Lubricante, all sorts of things.
That was my Mexican wrestling name.
And, And so they have Scarlett Johansson's picture on this business card. And obviously, they did not get her permission for this. So we call the manager of this place, and his response is, what is that? What does putting her picture on have to do with business cards? I don't even know who Scarlett Johansson is.
Sweet.
That's his answer.
So she's advertising his sex shop.
She's advertising his sex shop on these business cards. So her team has not said anything to us yet, but I guarantee you that they're getting a letter today.
Oh, yeah. No bueno.
Scarlett at least can get some free lociones out of this, though, I hope, right? No, it's a hilarious image. You have to see it at TMZ.com and all of the news that's going on in Hollywood and everywhere. And check your local listings for TMZ Live and then, of course, for the regular TMZ show as well. Harvey, you're the best, man. Welcome back. Great to talk to you.
See you guys.
106.7 K-Rock. KRQ. Kevin DiMicco, 855. Ralph, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I would like to tell a very quick story. Very quick story. Very quick story.
Yeah, go ahead.
John Stamos, backstage, April Foolishness. He came out when Bob Saget was performing.
Yep.
And Stamos is backstage, and he walks up to Dave, our producer, and he says, "Hi, Dave, I'm John Stamos." Yeah. And Dave says, "Hey, Jesse." And then, John Stamos says, "Did you just effing call me Jesse?"
First, of course, "I'm sorry, your name's Jesse?" And he's like, "No, I'm Dave."
So wait a minute, you just called me Jesse?
After he introduced himself as John Stamos.
And that's his character from their television show Full House.
Yeah. When? 15 years ago?
Right.
Uncle Jesse.
Why did Dave do that?
It was just reflex.
I see.
He saw him coming, and he got flustered. And he's like, "Oh my god, I watched this guy forever." On
it's
Full
Uncle
House.
Jesse.
It's Jesse. It's Jesse. It's
not
Jesse.
My fault.
And it was just reflex.
He was so embarrassed. It was awesome.
And John just dressed him down.
He did. He called
just
him on.
Worked him over. It's like had him in a headlock and was like wrestling with him and stuff.
Stamos is hilarious, by the way.
Funny dude.
Very funny when he came out on stage with Bob Saget was singing the song about Full House about
his character.
Danny Tanner.
Not being gay. Right. Yeah. And then he brings John Stamos out. It was hilarious. So.
People loved seeing those two on stage.
Complete recap of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012 at krock.com. And we're also going to talk to the probably the biggest star of the night now, little Brad
biggest.
Williams.
You said biggest. He's not big.
That's not what I meant at all. Oh. I just meant he owned that room. So Brad Williams joins us next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we're going to talk to the guy who's trying to get Weird Al Yankovic a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
You are such a co-signer.
Oh, Ralph got someone to star in the Walk of Fame. Oh, I'm going to do it too. I want to be just like Ralph. Oh, let me get someone to star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I just support Weird Al.
Weird Al's been around for 104 years. It's the first time I heard you talk about it. I get somebody to star in the Walk of Fame. And all of a sudden, you got to get somebody on the star of Walk of Fame.
By the way, we got Rodney Bingenheimer a star in the Walk of Fame.
You did.
Years before you got Adam West a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. We did.
Someone else at this station,
Kevin
put
and
that
I
together
personally raised
said,
the money for that.
Would you mind helping us with this? You're like, I don't really care for him.
We're going to talk Weird Al coming up after the top of the hour.
Amy Stevens didn't do that. It wasn't Amy.
First round.
That's you telling me?
The showbiz
it was
beat.
You. Tell me it was you.
I said we
tell
raised,
me it was you.
We didn't do all the paperwork, but
no.
We did raise the money and promote it hard.
You said something on the air. I'm sorry, Bean. What was I thinking?
We can't win with this guy.
All your hard work.
Kids, you're both just awful.
Well, look, we're happy to back out. If he's got Weird Al handled and doesn't require our help, we'll let him do it. We just wanted to have this kid on next hour.
I'll be a part of it,
to
though.
To see if there's anything we can do to help.
Oh, maybe I can ride on Al's coattails. Oh, Al, I had something to do with it, Al. Ooh, love me, Al.
It's not like that at all.
So sad. So very, very sad.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Please.
Two should either fight or kiss, one of the two. He's gonna fight. He's gonna fight.
Stand up!
You can't hit an unarmed man in glasses. Come on.
In those glasses.
All right, now the show is
going. Nothing I'd rather do than hit those glasses. Harry Potter.
Hunger Games, number one at the box office again, week three. How about that? $33.5 million made it number one. Not too shabby. Movie's been out for 3 weeks. Let's see how much it's made worldwide. $400 million.
In 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Cray. Here's Cray. This is, I think, a notification to the U.S. federal government.
Which is
suffering a severe deficit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Release a movie. They need to make a movie.
The government?
Oh, interesting.
Yes. But they would spend billions of dollars on it.
But, okay, don't make that movie then. But The Hunger Games cost around $75 million to make.
Right.
$400 million in 3 weeks as profit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would solve our deficit problem right there.
Boom. What kind of movie could the government make, though?
The story of the nickel. How about that?
That's a moneymaker.
Wouldn't you want to hear?
No.
How the nickel came about?
No.
The trials and tribulations went into the nickel? Mm. Oh, we all take the nickel for granted, my friends, but here's how the nickel got started. The nickel games.
How about like an Obama sex tape or something like that, maybe? Something like that would really get people into the theaters.
With Kim Kardashian.
Barack and Michelle, and then Kim Kardashian, as you've never seen them before.
Yeah. Naked.
And then Bo.
Polling the electorate. American Reunion was second at the box office.
The breast wing. Come on, it just writes itself.
American Reunion was second at the box office, a little over $21 million. Titanic 3D was third. Wrath of the Titans was fourth. Five was Mirror Mirror. 21 Jump Street came in at number six. The Lorax, salmon fishing in Yemen.
Nope.
John Carter and Safe House rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. There were rumors that Gary Ross, the director of Hunger Games, would not be returning to take over the reins of the sequel that they're planning on filming. However, Gary has squashed those rumors. He was on vacation in Italy when they were all over the Hollywood trades and the internet, but he came back and said he has not left the production, but there has been a delay in starting to work on the sequel because Jennifer Lawrence, who of course is the star of the film, had already signed on to do Fox's follow-up to X-Men First Class. So, depending on scheduling, they have to try to rush to get Hunger Games 2 finish under the wire before she starts that film, or have to wait until she's done that film. Either way, there's some juggling to do there with the sequel, but I'm sure the powers that be would like to get that film into production as soon as possible, given the obvious appetite the audience has for
that. And the Hunger Games is a series, there are other books waiting to be adapted,
there's
right?
There's three books.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're in place. They're good to go. So while we're talking about franchises, Austin Powers 4 in the works. I'm kind of looking
forward. Are you ready? Really? Has it been long enough now that you're ready for it again?
Not me.
I would have been ready for it after Goldmember. I thought that was funny. I think those are funny films. I think that's the thing that Mike Myers does well.
Yeah, baby!
Mike Myers, of course, returning as Austin Powers. Dr. Evil will be coming back. And it looks like Seth Green and Vern Troyer also returning to their original roles. And their roles will be beefed up. Details are that Mike wants to make this the best Austin Powers ever, and he thinks those characters are so strong, he wants to give them bigger roles. Here's a little trivia, by the way. You know Vern Troyer's family has never seen anything he's ever done in any of those films?
What?
Why? He comes from Amish.
He does?
Interesting.
His family is Amish.
Wow.
So until they invent a coal-burning movie projector, I don't think they're going to see his work anytime soon.
Well, it's well known that the best movie of a comedy series is the fourth one.
I have high hopes for
this really being the one.
I'm just saying those particular gags and those characters, for me, always carry sort of a guarantee to
But
them.
It's not a...
There wasn't like a huge diminish in return in the first three films. It wasn't like the first one was awesome and then the second, third ones blew. I thought they were all very funny.
That one called The Love Guru wasn't very good.
That was not an Austin Powers different. Movie, but...
It just seems like, because it was so popular so long ago, it seems like it was almost like a 90s thing. Like it was a place in time. It'd be weird.
But it's a spoof on a 60s thing, so it's really not dated by when it came out.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so.
I'd be hey. But I get to do that a lot more.
I'm not looking forward to
it. Do I make you horny, baby?
I'm not ready for everybody to start doing that again.
No, I'm not either.
My middle name is Danger, baby. Yeah. So I can do that for a lot. I can do it every day. I come into work every day and go, do I make you horny, Kevin?
Right, but you.
I'd behave.
But you can pull that off. Everyone else who can't pull that off.
I can't pull it off either. But it wouldn't stop me from doing it. Today's celebrity birthday is Elle Fanning. Is 14 years old today. Kristen Stewart's 22. Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl turns 26. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes, and Kevin Martin of Candlebox are all celebrating their birthdays today. Adult actress Jenna Jameson is 38. Cynthia Nixon of Sex and the City, 46 years old. I almost said Secretariat.
I don't know why it flashed into my head.
That was a Jenna Jameson movie.
Hey! Dennis Quaid, 58 years old, and Hugh Hefner celebrates his 86th birthday today. We'll all salute the founder of Playboy magazine. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations to Justin Rappel from Encino. Just won tickets for the 3-day sold-out Coachella Festival this weekend. Of course, that starts on Friday. And we got tickets for you several times throughout the day. You can win them again at noon, and then at 3, and then at 6, and then at 9. You can get all the details at krock.com. Kevin, you're going to be broadcasting from the K-Rock Coachella house on Friday morning.
And Monday.
And Monday morning.
Yep.
So good times. Oh, you're going to be in good shape on Monday.
I'm always in good shape.
You're going to be in good shape on Monday.
I travel.
All right. Here my whole thing.
Yes.
Weird Al Yankovic is the greatest human in the history of the world ever. Sorry, Jesus. He just is the best person on earth.
Don't throw in sorry, Jesus, because then people get mad. Just...
But Weird Al is better than Jesus.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Take it easy.
Oh, excuse me. Can Jesus write Eat It? I don't think so.
Probably.
My point is
I don't think
that
he would step down to eat it.
Even though he's won multiple Grammys and sold millions of records and has had a career that has lasted 35 years, there are still a few things that need to happen for the great Weird Al. One is he needs to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and that hasn't happened yet. Two is he needs a postage stamp, and that hasn't happened yet.
Easy.
Three is he needs to be on the freaking Hollywood Walk of Fame, right?
Four is he needs to be in Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore is fine, too. I wasn't trying to accomplish everything at once.
No.
So Kevin, I mean, listener wrote to us the other day and said, hey, you know, good job, Ralph Garman, on getting, you know, greasing the wheels a little bit to get Mr. Adam West, TV's Batman, his star on the Walk of Fame. What about weird mother effing Al? To which I said, I think there's a guy already working on that. Let's talk to him and find out how it's been going. David Rossi joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from WeirdAlStar.com. Hi, David. How are you, man?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. I'm doing great.
Where are you? You're back east somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey.
Fantastic. We appreciate you carving out time to talk to us. How long have you been working on trying to get the word out about Mr. Yankovic getting a star on the Walk of Fame?
Well, we officially launched in July of 2003, and we've been submitting, nominating him every year.
Wait, July of 2003?
That is correct.
9 years you've been working on this?
We've been working 9 years, and every year we send in our application, and every year they come back and they say, well, not this year.
How do you feel it's going?
Now, they're very mysterious. They don't give you reasons why. They don't say, okay, nice application, but here's something you can do better. It really is just a thumbs up or a thumbs down, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even really a thumbs down. It's just you find out when they make the announcement that you weren't picked. You know, so it's a little frustrating. It would be nice to know, you know, what it was. Did we forget to dot an I or something?
Yeah.
On the application,
They don't say he'll never make it. They don't say anything.
They just say you're welcome to submit an application again next year, right?
Right.
So see, this is the one thing we learned about our man Ralph on this show, who worked very hard for the last 3 years, I think, trying to get Adam West his due. And you saw that finally paid off last week.
Hang on.
Yeah.
3 years. Okay, back to you.
But we found out that there is, you know, there are procedures that have to be followed and paperwork that needs to be filed and deadlines that have to be met. But you're telling us that you've been doing all of that and it still hasn't worked.
Well, yeah. I mean, every year, you know, we submit the application, and then once in a while they change it up. But, you know, we make sure we always keep current with it. And, you know, we've raised, you know, several times they've raised the price on us, but we've managed, you know, to raise the money we need.
So I was going
to
ask.
Really waiting on the Walk of Fame to give us, you know, the yes.
So you have all the money needed as well?
Yeah, basically we have all the money we need at this point, you know.
What's your best guess as someone who spent 9 years on this project? If you have a guess, why do you think they could possibly look at your application and look at the man we're trying to honor here and say no?
You know, I wish I knew, because I know, being you're a big fan, you know that you know how much Al's done in the last, you know, he's been around 30 years.
Right.
You know, he's accomplished, you know, everything.
It's very possible that people in the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce that make up this group don't take him seriously. Don't you think?
You know, there's always been a problem that, you know, they don't take him seriously, but he is a very serious professional guy.
Yeah,
but he did eat it.
Right, but I mean the fact is,
and he did fat.
No one has ever done what Al has done anywhere near as successfully as he has.
I
no
agree.
One has ever been nearly as popular as Al has, and certainly no one has done it for as long as he
Listen,
has.
Listen, I'm on board. I'm just saying I'm trying to figure out why.
You're trying to put yourself in the mindset of how can they possibly say no? And then you see some of these other people, no offense to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but you see other people who aren't nearly as accomplished, aren't nearly as famous, aren't nearly as popular, who are getting stars, and it makes you wonder what kind of criteria they're using that we are not privy to. So is there a next step, or is literally the only thing to do, David, just keep doing what you're doing?
Well, I mean, I think I need to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not giving up. I mean, I'm set up that I can do this, you know, forever if I need to. I don't want to do it forever. I want them to say to us this year, okay, you're in.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, what you're doing's working. I would stick with it.
But you know, the thing is, and you know, I hear something like this and I go, wow, you know, we're on the air in Los Angeles where these people live who make the decision. I'd like to be able to do something to help. But I almost feel like there would be some sort of pushback, some sort of resistance if it felt like we were trying to do too much. You know what I mean? Like, they would say no just because now we're annoying them, and that's the last thing we want to do. So it's a very fine line to walk.
And we could be super annoying. So that's not good.
David, one more question.
I mean, you can continue to put out the word, and you can continue to, I don't know, you know, what contacts you have because of, you know, Adam West, but you can continue to, you know, work, you know, with us and
keep the idea out there. Keep it on the air so that, you know, it doesn't get forgotten. Let me ask you this, and do you know if this has any impact at all? If there were some sort of a petition or anything like that, do signatures make a difference? I mean, is that the type of thing that you could, you know, submit with next year's application? Look, here's 8,000 people that signed up that said they're for it or anything like that?
No. They actually specifically say that they do not accept petitions. So it's not a route we've ever tried to go down, because, like you said, we don't want to annoy them by doing something that they specifically ask us not to do.
Right, David. I got to tell you, I admire your persistence, but you sound like a beaten man.
You really
do.
No,
you sound like, I don't know. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
I keep rolling that rock uphill.
I hope before I die they say yes.
Well, you have to be frustrated, but, you know, more power to you. Look, if it makes any difference, if there's anything we can do to help, if something comes up where you go, hey, maybe Kevin and me will help me out with this, please get in contact with us, because we'd be happy to do it, David.
Sure. I mean, we'd love to invite you guys to our Star Ceremony.
Oh, nope. Yeah, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, well, listen, if you want to check out the website, and you should, it's weirdalstar.com. And you are also selling merchandise. You've got some stuff on there for purchase that has to do with this as well, David?
Yeah, we have some T-shirts, hats, posters, and other stuff. You know, it's all been, you know, approved by Al's manager, so we're all good to sell. And all the money we make off of that, we put into the Star Fund.
I'm gonna buy one of your Weird Al Star T-shirts, and I'm gonna never take it off. I'm gonna promise to wear it continuously until Al gets a star.
That'll be great.
That's gonna be my small contribution. All right, WeirdAlStar.com. David Rossi, good luck to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
I used to know somebody. This is somebody that they used to know.
Should be somebody who I used to know, by the way.
Oh, dear God.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
That's true.
Brad Williams, Kevin and Bean, April Foolish's 2012. The breakout star, the hit of the night. You show up, you've got Eddie Izzard on the lineup, you got Jay Mohr, you got Bob Sagan, you got Eddie F., you got all these comedians. You owned that room, my little friend.
Thank you, guys, and thank you to everyone who attended. That was an unbelievable night. I had a great time. And,
dude, Jay Mohr came out for his stand-up and said, it's obvious we're all fighting for second place after Brad. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've been talking with Jay. I'm actually going to be on his podcast on Tuesday, the live podcast at the Irvine Improv.
Oh, that's fantastic, yeah. So I know that you had worked really hard on it, Brad. I know that you've done some warm-ups around town to kind of tighten up the material and everything like that. But even for a guy who's had a lot of success as a comedian on stage, being in front of that audience for 6,000 people and seeing a standing ovation as you left the stage had to make you feel good.
Yeah. Like I said on stage, I've been listening to you guys forever, been a fan of the Kevin Bean Show, and a lot of my family and friends was in the audience, and to have that kind of reaction, if you had asked me to write a script, I couldn't have written one.
Now,
that
your dad and mom were there, and yeah.
And your hot sister, by the way.
Your sister's
hot. Of course, her husband was there too. But yeah,
no. But here's my question: is that you ended your set by doing a lap dance for Lisa May, and you had some moves, by the way. Little guy has moves.
You know what? I did, to prepare for that, I had to do a lot of research by heading out at the Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, good wow. For you. Congratulations.
That's probably
so your point was an odd thing to do in front of your family, Kevin?
Yes,
is that what you're going to say?
Your mom and dad are there. I mean, they must be used to that from you now. Right?
I bust out lap dances at the family Christmas party every
Sweet.
Year. I don't know why it's new.
Do your parents ever tell you that when you were born and it became obvious that you were a little person that they thought about just hold your head underwater or anything like that? I mean, they ever admit that?
Wow.
Or
wow.
Oh, my God.
What kind of question is that?
Well, that's a terrible question
to ask. There had to come a point where they had to go, is it worth it?
you go with the killing babies reference?
Seriously. Yeah, right. That's the comedy the bee's right. going for today.
We've heard Kevin's version of the story, what happened backstage as Larry King was out on stage.
Oh, you mean Dave?
Yes, thank trainer. You.
We want to hear from you, Brad. I want to hear your version of the story that Kevin briefly filled us in on that involved him trying to pay you to run out on the stage to hump Larry King's leg. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. We were backstage watching Larry King. Pretty much everyone was backstage because he wanted to know what Larry was going to do. And we're watching it, and then Kevin just looks at me because he remembers that I humped Miss Double December Danielle's leg.
Right.
Years ago.
Right.
And he said, how funny would it be if you humped Larry King's leg?
Run out on stage while he's doing his comedy, hump his leg, and run back off.
Because Larry wouldn't know what hit him. He'd have no idea where this dwarf came from that all of a sudden is hanging onto his leg.
And Brad thought that was funny.
All right. So where did it go wrong? How did it break down?
Well, at first I said no because I didn't want it to really happen. But then
I talked you into it.
Yeah, he talked me into it by offering me a lot of money.
I offered him $500, and he said yes. And then
I said yes. I go back to get a running start. Literally, I take two steps to start to go on stage, and like Ray Lewis hitting a receiver over the middle, Dave commits a hate crime and tackles a midget.
The King of Mexico dives, literally is smothering him.
So you were at the point where you had agreed to do it, you had made a deal, and you literally were taking a few steps back so that you could get a running start to head out on the stage. I mean, it was 1 second away from happening.
Yes.
We even discussed all of the options. Like, what if Larry gets mad? Well, he really can't because he's in front of the crowd. And then we said, what if he dies? And then we said, that would be the best headline ever.
But you don't want to kill Larry King.
No, you don't. But if he does end up dying, you want to be the midget that was
that killed Larry King.
Of course.
But Brad, let me ask you this. Set aside for the fact that Kevin's right, it would have been funny and probably would have been a crowd pleaser. Set that aside. I'm so grateful that you didn't do it because I think Larry, as an invited guest, deserves our respect, deserves the opportunity to get out there and do the show he wants to do.
It's not a respectful night. It's comedy.
If you were told that you had to go to a party and at this party a midget would hump your leg, wouldn't you get to the party 30 minutes early?
That's what I'm saying. Larry would be bragging about it today if the King of Mexico had not made Brad tap out.
Larry wouldn't have cared if his leg had popped off like a Mr. Potato Head, which it probably would have done.
But Larry has a set, too. He knows how much time he has. He knows what he wants to accomplish in his time on this stage. It's not fair for us to change up his moment. I don't think.
Hey, the man, why don't you shut up for a minute and let us talk?
So, Brad, are you sad that it didn't happen? Do you feel like that was your one chance to hump Larry King's leg?
Well, how many chances is Brad going to have?
Well, I was very sad that it didn't happen, but the night as a whole was a success, and I felt a lot better about myself in the dressing rooms later when Miss Double December was letting me take body shots off of her boobs.
Yes, I saw those photos on Twitter that she posted, too. Imagine, by the way, but I mean, you, as great as your night was, if you'd been able to drive away with $500 of Kevin's money, and think about how far $500 goes if you're a little person, too, by the way. That's more than for normal-sized people.
That is a lot of cupcakes.
It's a lot of cupcakes. Brad, I'm glad that Dave, the King of Mexico, did his producer duties and stopped you from...
He's the enemy of fun.
Because we don't assault our invited guests.
The King of Mexico is the enemy of fun.
But Brad, we're so proud of you and how great you went over, and you made a ton of new fans. You're going to have to start playing bigger rooms when you play locally, dude. Seriously, that was amazing.
Absolutely, and thank you guys so much. And if I can plug one thing real quick.
Sure.
I actually am recording my very first podcast today.
Oh, fantastic. Where can we hear it?
It's going to be on the Toad Hop Network. They do live podcasting, and then it will be available on iTunes very shortly. It is called About Last Night with Brad Williams and my co-host Adam Ray.
All right, toadhop.com is the site. And Brad, we'll see you again soon, man. Thanks for coming
on. And follow him at Funny Brad on Twitter.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Brad. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What are you talking about, Ralph?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 grossing movies at the box office this weekend. And number one, as expected, was The Hunger Games yet again. Third week in a row, $33.5 million.
it made this weekend. Very, very strong numbers for the Hunger
America
Games.
America has quite an appetite for the Hunger Games. Did I say that out loud? Sorry.
American Reunion, the sequel to the popular American Pie films, made $21.5 million, minute number two this weekend. Titanic 3D was third. People still want to see that movie. Now in 3D, Wrath of the Titans was fourth. Mirror Mirror was number five. 21 Jump Street, The Lorax, Salmon Fishing in Yemen, John Carter, and Safe House rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kanye West, of course, has reportedly hooked up with porn star Kim Kardashian. And people wonder, why would he choose Kim Kardashian of all the people Kanye West could and probably has had?
Right.
Why pick Kim Kardashian and then start to leak the information publicly? Well, it turns out that Kanye is attempting to overcome the one career hurdle he's had that he just can't get past, which is his fashion career. His last attempt at a runway show got slammed by the critics, but Kim and her family have embedded themselves into the fashion industry quite deeply.
Interesting.
Insiders believe Kanye could be trying to leverage his position with the fashion industry through the Kardashians. And that we'll have to hear from him what a great, innovative designer he is and why he doesn't get enough respect.
He's a jackass.
Selling himself that way.
He's a jackass.
So we'll have to wait and see if it works or not. But he is sure talking about Kim Kardashian a lot these days.
Yep.
His new single, Theraflu, and now the information that's being leaked publicly about the relationship. He's pissing off a lot of people, though, too, including PETA, who have taken a stand against his fashion choices because he tends to use animal furs. He's got a line in Theraflu, if you heard it or not, where he said, my mink is dragging on the floor, he tells the PETA.
Is PETA winning the fur battle or not?
No.
You don't think so?
PETA has responded with, what's dragging on the floor is Kanye West's reputation as a man with no empathy for animals.
That's not a good response.
Burn!
That's not a good response.
You might want to work a little harder on that, PETA, before you release that press release.
I would say, overall, I would say PETA's winning that war.
There's less fur than there was a few years ago.
Yeah. Not with Kanye.
No, not with Kanye.
He'll never change.
I think whether it's PETA's efforts or whether just people are becoming, you know, more sensitive to animal issues because they're pet owners or whatever, they're starting to see the end of it.
But I think some of that is PETA has provided that information to people who may never have gotten the word, hey, here's how animals are killed for fur. I mean, I do give them some of the credit for the change in tide on that.
All right.
Obviously.
Thank you, Lana.
And Clint Eastwood is suing a furniture company called Evo Furniture for selling products named after him. There is apparently the Clint 47-inch Entertainment Center. Look, if someone named something after me that was 47 inches, I would be very, very happy. But Clint Eastwood apparently is not.
What if it's really named after Clint Howard? Did he ever think about that? Why is he automatically assuming it's him?
That's a good point. Let's read the company's brochure about the piece and see whether there's any connection or not. When you're invited to a person's home, you get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, it says.
Oh, yes.
When visitors come to your home, the Clint 47-inch Entertainment Center makes your family room alone look like you live in a perfect world of a million-dollar baby.
Well, okay.
I think they could have worked a little harder on the catalog, too, before they got there.
That's terrible.
They could have said, this piece will make your day when you put it into your house. Or
that would have made
so is Clint mad, or are these people unforgiven? What is it?
Oh my God. You have constantly brought this show to a complete halt, and I think you're doing it on purpose.
I do too. He's like a sleeper cell.
He's a sleeper cell.
You work for Seacrest?
No. You're a terrorist. You're a comedy terrorist.
File?
Yes.
What do you think?
Did he contact these people, or is he just sending letters to Iwo Jima?
Oh, Ralph, come on, please. No,
don't leave.
Ralph, he's back. Now the terrorists are winning.
No, he's just taking a day. Ralph, come on.
The terrorists are winning.
He got up and he unplugged his headphones and he walked out the door and he's not coming back.
You made that happen. Congratulations. Tomorrow morning.
What happened now?
Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Hopefully, it'll be bean-free.
How dare you?
We have comedian Jay Mohr in the studio.
Fantastic.
Love him. He's the best. We have Gustavo Arellano in the studio as well for Ask a Mexican, and he's written a new book. I believe it's called Taco USA.
Is it something Mexican-related?
It appears to be.
How shocking.
Yes. And we have an author on who not only says that O.J. Simpson is innocent, which I just rolled my eyes at because I've heard that 1,000 times.
Right.
But he says he has proof. He can prove it. And his theory is that it was O.J. Simpson's son who has
the juice, whatever that is. He's got to be a good guy.
And his son has a history of violence, allegedly. So him covering up for his son, that makes a little sense.
Interesting new theory.
Now I'm not rolling my eyes. This guy says he can prove it. And he's got a new book out called O.J. Simpson is Innocent, and I can prove it. So we'll talk to him tomorrow as well. And we've got your tickets for Coachella, 3-day passes tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.